your day.
Happy Valentine's
Day. Happy Valentine's Day. And remember, tomorrow really does matter. Tell your lover this evening, tomorrow really does matter. Stay tuned for Peter B. Collins coming up after this show.
And wear a condom.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
He said he pointed it to the middle of the class when he first walked in from the emergency door, and he shot a few times there, but then he went for the teacher.
That student's roommate was inside the lecture hall at Northern Illinois University, about 60, 65 miles west of Chicago, when a young man, apparently armed with a shotgun, walked in.
He saw some kid walk through an emergency exit door, take out a shotgun, and just started pointing and shooting. And he didn't hear him say anything, and he was, you know, at first he couldn't believe what he saw, and then he said the second or third shot, he got up and he ran.
Local hospital says as many as 15 wounded. Possibly sprayed by buckshot, three or four of them with head wounds, and police say the gunman is dead. Turns out Hillary Clinton's losing streak is not as long as thought. Now that the counting's done, we know she won most of the delegates in New Mexico's caucuses. She gets 14, Obama gets 12. Republican John McCain has all but rallied for religion McCain today, offering his endorsement. He appeared with McCain to do it.
I thank Romney for his endorsement. More than that, I thank him for the hard, intensive, fine, honorable campaign that he ran for the nomination of our party.
The Navy plans to try something new. A missile cruiser will target a broken spy satellite in space to try to keep the poisonous hydrazine in the fuel tank from potentially reaching inhabited areas.
In particular consideration of reducing injury to human life, the President, on the recommendation of his National Homeland Security teams, directed the Department of Defense to carry out the intercept.
That's Deputy National Security Advisor James Jeffrey. He says they'll get just one shot at it. If the Navy misses, gravity will have to take over. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke has told the Senate Banking Committee,
"The outlook for the economy has worsened in recent months, and the downside risks to growth have increased."
He also said the economy should recover later this year, and in any event, in Fed speak, suggested the Federal Reserve plans to make sure of it with more interest rate cuts. Wall Street, the Dow lost 175 points today. The Nasdaq was off about 41, and oil prices up $2.19 to $95.46 a barrel. It happened at a harness racetrack, Monticello, New York, about 50 miles north of New York City. The jockey was dumped right out of the sulky at about a mile mark, and the horse went on to win the race. But it's what the horse did after that that's even more amazing.
I've seen horses go into the winner's circle, running loose wild. But this horse went right there and stopped and just was, he knew he was going to get his picture taken. He knew he won the race.
John Manzi at Monticello Raceway. Valentine's Day wedding on a budget in a castle. At a White Castle in Columbus, Ohio, where the flower girl threw salt and pepper packets instead of rice, and the cake came like cupcakes that looked like sliders, fries, and a drink. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
We, your tires, have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa, replace?
I could do it right there at a great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 12-3108.
FEMA says formaldehyde will empty those emergency trailers in Katrina country.
Criticized by some for taking so long to study the problem, now that the results are in, FEMA is acting quickly to get people out of those trailers.
We're going to start moving people into hotels and motels until we can find apartments.
Administrator David Paulison says FEMA will even assist in boarding pets. And groups of scientists will now track the residents to determine if they'll have lasting health problems.
We don't know what the long-term effects are, and we don't know what we're going to have. So we're going to work with CDC. see very closely.
And Paulison says the smaller travel trailers will never be used again for long-term housing of disaster victims. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
A man who compared himself to the New York Giants acted as his own lawyer in his attempted bank robbery trial in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Government prosecutors are huge on the line, though, and they have a secondary that knows how to blitz, so the term sacked comes to mind. Daniel Riles, convicted, could go to jail for 25 years. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
Sir, I think I speak for the four of us when I say that we do not support your current errand.
Well, we're going to the tire store. You guys are tires.
Head to the dealership.
Well, at the tire store, you can see your buddies.
We don't associate with off-brands. Your dealer has name brands. Michelin, Continental, Goodyear.
Enough.
I don't think they carry that one.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, what else would you call a place that can save you hundreds when you switch? And even more if you're a good driver. You see, at Progressive, you're rewarded for slowing down at yellow lights, using your directional, and yes, yielding at yield signs. Sounds utopian, Did I mention this music is played by actual angels with harps? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield, Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Would you be my Valentine?
My name is Cupid Valentino, the modern day Cupid, and I just want to say one thing. Happy Valentine's Day.
Hey, thanks, Cupid. Sharpen those arrows now, will you?
I just want to say happy Valentine's Day. Can you dig that?
I can dig it, yeah.
When arrows don't penetrate, see. He shoots straight for your heart. Now, and he won't miss you.
That's Outkast, and I better fade it before they get into the X-rated part.
But.
And however you're celebrating whomever you love, happy Valentine's Day to you. From all of us here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Lots to talk about today. Faz Shakir will kick things off in a moment. He's Research Director of the Center for American Progress. Also this hour, Bart Stupak, a Democratic congressman from Michigan, will join us. He's one of those people fighting to prevent a compromise on the FISA bill. He's one of the stalwarts in the House who wants to stick to the House version, which does not give immunity or amnesty, as I call it, to the telephone companies. Also on today's program, Scott Dick returns. We're going to talk about military and veterans issues. And we're also going to continue to challenge Bill O'Reilly, who claims that there aren't really that many homeless veterans in America today, and they're not sleeping under bridges. Well, there's a protest underway just about now in front of the Fox News headquarters in New York, and there are actual homeless veterans there trying to get a message to Bill O'Reilly. So we will, a cough just hit me right as we go on the air. We're going to talk with a homeless vet named Nestor Cabrera, and we're also going to talk to an advocate for veterans who are homeless, Carol Gardner. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. As we mentioned, Faz Shakir joins us, research director at CAP, and he's co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. Faz, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Peter. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Cough settled in right as I started the show today, and that kind of gets in the way, but we'll work through it. Faz, a little bit later this hour, Congressman Stupak will join us, and I understand that despite Valentine's Day being celebrated coast to coast, that there's not a lot of love on the floor of the House today, and that at one point the Republicans staged a walkout.
That's right. Yeah, it was over the issue of the contempt citations that have been it seems like have been going on for a year now, and this these contempt citations were for Harriet Myers and White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolton, and they related to the attorney scandal from way back when. Remember,
yep.
Remember Alberto Gonzalez and his refusal to turn over documents relating to the reasons for why those attorneys were fired and let go. And so this has been stewing for quite a long time. The issue has now percolated because the White House refuses to give any ground or refuses to let Harriet Myers or Josh Bolton testify about the matter. So contempt citations were brought to the House floor, and they needed the approval of the full House, and the Republicans refused to give that approval and instead waged a walkout.
Well, and the real contempt was shown by John Boehner, the Republican, the minority leader in the House. And we have a quote from the Ohio Republican. "We will not stand here and watch this floor be abused for pure political grandstanding at the expense of our national security. Let's just get up and leave." Now, that speaks volumes. He just tipped his hand there. They're doing the grandstanding. And they, of course, in true Tom DeLay fashion, lay that at the feet of their opponents.
Right. I mean, this is exactly what you'd expect from Republicans. This is the kind of political theater that they kind of enjoy. And since they were so adept at the do-nothing Congress, it just seemed fitting that they would also do nothing here and just simply walk out. I think that there is one semi-serious issue here, and that is what to do about FISA. And the Republicans, I think, have a little bit of solid ground on the fact that they are at least talking about the fact that they are concerned about working on FISA rather than working on contempt citations. And I think it probably is appropriate that at this juncture, because the FISA debate has percolated to its last moment before the Protect America Act expires, which, as you and I, I'm sure, feel that that's a good thing. They haven't yet reached a compromise on what a new FISA legislation would look like, and that's probably something that they should get done soon.
Well, I'd like to see them do nothing, frankly, Faz. I'd like to see this bad legislation from last summer expire.
I agree with you, but I don't know if just simply reverting back is the best course to take. I mean, it's certainly not harmful to revert back to the original FISA. That said, I think that there's an opportunity for the Democrats to do a few things that need to be done. One is to ensure that there's no retroactive immunity. If you don't, I think, act on it congressionally, the administration will simply act as if there is retroactive immunity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the issues that needs to be declared by Congress. The other is simply making sure that there are civil liberties protections in the dragnet that the way the administration is currently carrying out its activities. So there's some opportunities there now that we've got the House and the Senate. I think we should be able to pass something through that does these things.
Well, I understand that politically. My issue is that the Democrats keep allowing deadlines and White House pressure to force them into taking action that we then regret. And this bill that came out of the Senate includes the immunity provision for the phone companies, and it also has a 6-year sunset with minor oversight provisions that I don't think are very compelling. And so when I look at the idea of, putting into concrete 6 years of domestic surveillance, I think the wiser route is for Democrats to hold their ground, stick with the version of the bill that the House passed last fall, and force the president to eat his words on these phony threats of vetoes. I made the comparison yesterday. It's like Bush saying, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going on a hunting trip with Dick Cheney. And it's going to be your fault if he shoots me.
You know what I really like about your proposal is that it's probably the most politically saleable, because, as you know, Congress, it's very difficult to get Congress to do anything, to actually move in the direction that we want them to move. And we've seen that with Iraq for a long time. They can't seem to get anything done. I think that not doing anything seems to be something that they do well. And if they don't do anything here, the result is actually a good thing. So I think at least I like the concept of at least forcing the media to recognize, because I've seen a lot of the misreporting by the media here, that FISA is about to expire.
Right.
FISA is not about to expire.
Mm-hmm.
The law will still be there, that will require the administration to get wiretaps.
And all the current surveillance, authorized or not, will
right.
continue.
Warrant surveillance, exactly. You have to get a warrant, according to the Constitution, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at least you can go back to the law, and we can continue to act as if we're a legal, law-abiding nation. And there will be no harm done. And it will force, I think, the administration and the media to understand that this debate has been one fear-mongering episode that has no reflection in the true reality of trying to get terrorists.
And this is, again, where the Democrats have to call the Republican bluff. And they have been unwilling to do so on so many issues. And I think this is a defining moment. We know they're not going to stop the money for the occupation this year. And to me, this is the most critical issue that Democrats can hold their ground on and prevail in the best interests of the American people, our Constitution. And I think it should redound to their benefit politically. And even if Bush is able to manipulate it so that it doesn't, I think this is, again, an important moment to stand on principle.
Well, yeah, I think you've sold me on the fact that, yeah, I was just arguing a few moments ago that they should pass through their own provision. And theoretically, I'd like to see that happen. I think if we've got Congress, we should fix the law so that it's appropriate. But that said, I like your approach. Let's just stand our ground and let's show President Bush that we can be tough on the issue of terror, which is something that he's rolled over us on for quite a long time, and it would be great to have a victory here.
Well, and I'll give credit. The idea actually came from Caroline Frederickson of the ACLU in Washington when we spoke with her the other day. Fast, Shakir, I wanted to ask you next about the ban on waterboarding that came out of the Senate yesterday, 51-45. Two Republicans joined most Democrats in supporting the legislation, and one Republican who says he's against torture and who says waterboarding is torture, presidential candidate John McCain, voted against the bill.
A true test for the maverick. And the Straight Talk Express lost its wheels and drew a flat. Unfortunately, you know, it was one of those moments where I actually think he could have voted the right way. He could have voted his conscience. And it's surprising that he didn't, because the bill passed 51-45.
Right.
Now, if you flip McCain's vote, all you got is a 52-44 vote. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It still passes. The President Bush is still going to veto it. It comes back to the Senate. He can still vote the right way, and President Bush will get his way.
But I've got the real secret here. It's Mercer Reynolds. The Bush team deployed Mercer Reynolds, a millionaire from Cincinnati, my hometown, to the McCain team this week as finance chairman. John McCain is virtually broke in terms of his political campaign funding. And the White House now has him by the short hairs.
Well, it's not only that he's broke financially, he's just broke with the right-wing base. I mean, they are completely fractured and splintered and are upset over, and they have a severe case of buyer's remorse. I mean, they don't want McCain as their nominee, and you can see that with the strength that Huckabee seems to be gaining, despite the fact that mathematically McCain has already won the nomination.
Yeah.
So I think that McCain has a lot of work to do to reconcile the right wing base, and the first act in this chapter of reconciling the right wing base appears to be to cave on his core principles and to start standing for torture rather than against it.
Yeah, it is. It's mind-boggling and gives you a little whiplash occasionally. We're going to take a break and return with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Log on to progressreport.org and give them your email. They'll send you the Progress Report every day for free electronically. Isn't that neat? If you have a comment, join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well
You're
as
listening
tarts and
to
pies
the new
with a wide
KRXA 540.
Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Slow down, you know you move too fast. This is Barbara Mossberg inviting you to join me for our Poetry Slowdown at High Noon Sundays. My guests February 17th are Ruth Paget and the winner of the Youth Cowboy Poetry Festival and actress-playwright Jill Jackson. We'll rebroadcast our first two launch shows February 24th and March 2nd and continue March 9th with guest Jeannie Adams on the Poetry of Trees. I can't wait to hear from you then.
Valentine's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We are powered by Extra Strength Chocolate today. And we continue with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress, co-editor of that Daily Progress Report. Lead story today is all about the mortgage meltdown. And Faz, this really has reached significant proportions. It's not just a handful of people with those adjustable rate mortgages who are in trouble. The entire industry is melting down. And I personally know people who are on the verge of losing their homes. And it's a very difficult set of issues. But the Bush administration has just put out a bunch of feel-good press releases, and Treasury Secretary Paulson was at it again yesterday. And I have never heard them utter one word about predatory lending practices and cracking down on the people who wrote these mortgages that are now causing people to be squeezed out of their homes.
No, and you've seen a lot of the CEOs
who were in charge of companies that gave out these very risky and unbalanced loans, these subprime loans, that they left these companies with the golden parachute.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that at Countrywide Financial and Citibank and a whole host of others. They're living the life of luxury, left with tens of millions of dollars. Meanwhile, the deficiencies that they left behind and the problems that they left behind are continuing to be felt in the most severe way. We wrote in the progress report today that there are more than one out of every 14 mortgages are delinquent as of the end of September. That's one out of every 14. That's amazing. I mean, the whole housing market is collapsing, and as the U.S. housing market collapses, not only does the Wall Street collapse, but also it has global repercussions because a lot of the people who are the holders of this debt are foreign countries. So we're going to see a continuing global meltdown of sorts unless we do something to address the housing market.
And nobody raises the dreaded R word, regulating the banks and financial institutions that got deregulated when Glass-Steagall was eviscerated. And, they are allowed to mix up their different lines. And that's one of the reasons we have this problem, because they blended the adjustable rate bad mortgages with good mortgages. And now the whole thing is tainted.
Yeah, I'd like to see somebody take a holistic approach to explain how this all happened. From my perspective, I think what happened was this was a nation that went to war. We had a surplus. We squandered it, of course, with the Bush tax cuts. We went to war. We were already in a difficult financial shape because of the Bush tax cuts. And what the Fed did under Alec Greenspan was, let's make sure that the Americans don't have to sacrifice financially for this war. So what he did was continue to cut interest rates to make money cheaper, to be able for Americans to get more and more loans. And then what happened was, because of the free availability, or I mean, I shouldn't say free, but the wide availability of these loans, the mortgage companies went nuts and started giving out these risky loans. And this is all, I think you have to take a full approach to this and to understand the structural deficiencies that led to this. Certainly it was deregulation, a lot of bad decisions, and also our bad spending policies. And you take them all together, and it just makes, I think, a strong case for the fact that you really need a new administration with a completely different perspective in order to address this. It's just not a patchwork type of thing.
Well, and it's fair to say that both the leading Democratic candidates have taken a lot of money from Wall Street interests, so we're not sure if we can get a real clean start there, but I'm hopeful. Philip in Sacramento, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter and Faz, how are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Hey, quick question on the Protect America Act. I thought Chris Dodd was going to filibuster that if the Senate didn't remove the immunity for the telcos.
What did happen to the filibuster, Faz?
Well, they basically met cloture because the Democrats had enough people cross over, and they got to 60. And so, in essence, they never got to a point where Dodd felt like he could filibuster the act itself, because there were enough Democrats who had crossed over to basically prevent his filibuster from occurring.
Okay.
So 18 Democrats, particularly on the critical amendment that would have withdrawn the amnesty for the phone companies, that was where there was a gap, so that Chris Dodd really didn't have the leverage to conduct.
In the final vote, there were some 20-something Democrats, so that tells you where the support was. I mean, a lot of majority of Democrats were against them on this issue, were against Dodd on this issue.
Philip, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Faz, thank you for your expertise. We'll talk to you next week.
Sure, thank you.
Coming up next, Congressman Bart Stupak of, he's a Democrat from Michigan, and he is a stalwart on the FISA bill. If you're on the line and want to talk about that, stay with us. He's going to join us next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by The Coop from Verizon Wireless. With a big keypad and an easy-to-read screen, it's a hassle-free phone that's easy to use. I'm Charles Osgood. Yahoo's rejection of Microsoft's takeover bid does not mean that Microsoft is going to go away like a rejected suitor on Valentine's Day with tears in their eyes. They don't call it a hostile takeover bid for nothing. And Yahoo knows that when a company is in play, it's in play. So they're now in discussions with News Corp, Rupert Murdoch's big newspaper and broadcasting conglomerate. Yahoo's board is reportedly meeting again today or tomorrow to consider a deal of some kind, under which News Corp would not buy the company out lock, stock, and barrel, as Microsoft wants to, but would buy a significant stake in Yahoo. What does all this mean? Well, the companies aren't talking, but we'll do some guessing after this. Let's say you're finally retired. Now you can do all the things that you've been wanting to do, but you never had the time. Well, being on the go, you'll need a cell phone, and one that you can rely on. But you probably don't want to have to deal with some complicated phone with lots of tiny little buttons. Well, Verizon Wireless has just the phone for you. It's called the Coupe. It's got a great big keypad, easy-to-read screen, and dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. And since it's backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal on Verizon Wireless, so you know it's reliable. The Coupe from Verizon Wireless. It's everything you need and nothing you don't. To learn more, call 1-800-JOIN-IN today or visit a Verizon Wireless store near you.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Why wait any longer for a great price on a digital camera? Get to Office Depot today for a wide selection of digital cameras from famous brands like Kodak, Panasonic, Nikon, HP, and Olympus during the digital camera blowout and get 20 to 30% off select models. Hurry in for the best selection. Plus, let Office Depot help you print great pictures at a great price with incredible deals on photo paper. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selection may vary by location. Available in-store only if offer expires February 16th.
Larry Magid, the CBS News technology consultant, says the idea of Rupert Murdoch's News Corp taking a major position in Yahoo is not such a terrible mismatch as you might think.
There would actually be some synergy between News Corp and Yahoo when you consider that News Corp owns MySpace and Yahoo never has been able to launch a successful social networking product.
Microsoft obviously believes that with its resources, it could give Google a run for its money and compete for that dominant position Google has in the search engine business. Well, News Corp is no slouch itself when it comes to resources.
News Corp already owns MySpace, WallStreetJournal.com, and a number of other popular web properties, and certainly combining with Yahoo could make a great deal of sense.
What would that mean for Microsoft?
This could certainly be one way of keeping Microsoft from the door, but it's also possible that Microsoft would respond by upping its offer, putting more pressure on Yahoo stockholders to go along with the Microsoft acquisition deal.
Stay tuned. The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Hal on behalf of the Central Avenue Bakery. Tina and her staff want to thank all of you for becoming regulars at the Central Avenue Bakery at 173 Central Avenue in beautiful Pacific Grove. February is a special month at the Central Avenue Bakery as they celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian buffet and a free glass of wine with every dinner. Space is limited, so make your reservations for Valentine's Day now. Then, at the end of February, Central Avenue Bakery celebrates its third anniversary with live music, free food, and prizes. Enjoy organic foods, pastries, and coffee. They also have a gluten-free menu and many organic gluten-free pastries. Stop by one of my favorite restaurants, the Central Avenue Bakery in Pacific Grove, today.
From San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We are observing Valentine's Day today at the Peter B. Collins Show, and here's the late, great godfather of soul, former hardest-working man in show business, James Brown. Oh, yeah.
But it wouldn't be nothing.
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 A It's one of my favorite songs of all time, live at the Apollo. It's 19 minutes long. I'm sorry, James, we don't have time for the rest of it because Congressman Bart Stupak is on the line. He called in just in time to join us for this segment. He's a Democrat from Michigan, an eight-termer who represents the northern portion of the state and part of the Upper Peninsula as well. Congressman, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Well, thank you.
Nice to talk with you, and I've spent some time in your district, spent some summers on Crooked Lake.
Crooked Lake, absolutely. Gorgeous area.
Just up from Petoskey. You have a great area that you represent. And what is your hometown?
I live in the Upper Peninsula. I live in Menominee, right on the Wisconsin border.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been there, too. Beautiful area. Well, Congressman, I want to thank you for responding to our request to talk with you today, because representing my listeners, I have to convey to you that we are deeply concerned about the cave-in by 18 Democrats in the United States Senate on the critical issue of amnesty for the telephone companies in relation to the illegal domestic surveillance conducted in direct defiance of the FISA law by the Bush administration. And we think, I'll just speak for myself, I think this is one of the most critical issues confronting the Democratic leadership. And your House has a pivotal role to play now because of what the Senate has done. The biggest difference between the bills is this amnesty provision. And what I'm hearing is that you and other members of the House want to stand firm and stick with the version of the bill that you passed last November, which does not include amnesty for the phone companies. I fully support your position. I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about some of the drama that's been taking place in the House today and how my listeners can help support your effort.
Well, first of all, thanks, and I think you accurately portrayed what's going on. In fact, earlier this week, well, actually, yeah, February 8th, reject the blanket telco immunity, as we call it. I sit on the Energy Commerce Committee. I'm chairman of Oversight Investigations. John Dingell from Michigan's our chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Markey, who's from Massachusetts, chairman of the Subcommittee on Telecommunications and Internet. I also sit on that subcommittee. So we put out a letter saying, hey, members of Congress should not legislate in a factual vacuum. In other words, what the Senate did was give immunity, but they don't know what they're giving immunity for. I mean, it's never been disclosed. What is the information? What's the constitutional violation that the president's looking for?
Mm-hmm.
How far-reaching was this? Which we believe illegal wiretaps on U.S. citizens here in this country by the Bush administration without going to the FISA court and getting a FISA warrant. I mean, this is the basic Constitution, the Bill of Rights, are being trampled here by this administration.
Indeed.
And I am pleased that the House of Representatives, under Speaker Pelosi's leadership, is staying up and saying, we're not going to go along with this. Now, we wanted to do an extension, and some of the members were so upset about what the Senate was doing, and we said, let's give us another 3 weeks. We'll try to work this out. Members just said, no, we're not going to grant the extension.
Mm-hmm.
There still is a FISA law on the books. The administration still can do their wiretapping, provided they go to the FISA court and get a court order. But what we've seen with this administration, it's very simple. The FISA courts approve, like, 99.9% of all warrants. It's a special warrant here in the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., and they can still wiretap for surveillance up to 72 hours before even seeking a warrant.
Well, Congressman,
the Bush administration has everything they need. But what they did, they browbeat these telephone companies into violating the law, and now they want immunity, but they won't tell members of Congress who have this responsibility for voting, and they didn't tell any senators what was the extent of the law they violated, who was violated, what laws were broken, what constitutional safeguards were trampled by this administration. And in the House of Representatives, we refuse to give that immunity until we know what's going on. And then members will probably be so outraged they probably won't give immunity. So we're holding firm in the House.
Congressman, I would just add to your list there that we need to know why the phone companies were contacted in February and March of 2001 to instigate this domestic surveillance, because it's widely believed that this was a response to 9/11. But Quest, I have a few shares of that company,
yep,
and I'm very proud that they said no. But we need to know why the administration was seeking these tools that they call them, of domestic surveillance in violation of FISA and our Fourth Amendment right to probable cause in advance of 9/11. I'm not rationalizing it post 9/11, but
no.
This is one of the things that will get washed away if the immunity is granted.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I'm deeply disappointed in the Senate in their action that they took. I mean, there is no – the administration won't show us – I'm just baffled. How do you give immunity if you don't know the essence of the request for immunity? I mean, what are you immuning? How do you give immunity when you don't know when you're immuning?
Exactly, Congressman.
Sounds crazy, but that's exactly what happened.
But call it crazy. Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, has been looking for a way to paper over the lawbreaking of the Bush administration since it was revealed. And she, likewise, Congressman, on several occasions, she offered this kind of immunity without actually knowing the extent, the breadth, the width of this surveillance program.
And it surprises me that she would do that, but she did. And I, for the love of me, I don't know why. Look, some of the members are saying, the Bush administration, we've done this before under Clinton administration, not the Bush administration, but the Clinton administration, where we've cleared the whole House chamber. No one's there, just the members. Lock the doors, shut her down. Administration has come in when Clinton was there, President Clinton was there, and very sensitive issues were discussed. And that's what we could do here if it is, quote, national security. And then let members ask questions, and then we can make the judgment. Until we get something like that, there is no interest, at least on the House side, of granting any immunity. And I'm sorry to hear people like Senator Feinstein could not stand up to the pressure, wherever it is, from the Bush administration.
Jay Rockefeller.
Jay Rockefeller's an arrow one. I mean,
Your Senator Stabenow voted against the stripping out of the immunity provision. I don't understand that.
I called, and you're right, I didn't get an answer on that one. I did call Debbie today.
Yeah. Now let me ask you, Congressman Stupak.
Sure.
I took a look at your bio. You're a former police officer and state trooper. You have conducted law enforcement activities, presumably following the law and embracing the constitutional limits on your right to invade the privacy of citizens.
Right.
Tell me, based on your law enforcement background, can you find any rationalization for the Senate Democrats supporting the Bush administration on this measure?
Unless there's something I don't know, I can't. I can't. I mean, look, the law is there to help you do your job. It's not a hindrance to doing your job. It's like torture. And as they say, you know, Bush administration, waterboarding, and all this other, you need it to get intelligence. No, you don't. It's not very good quality intelligence. Every expert will tell you if you do torture, they'll say anything to get you to stop torturing them. And you can't rely upon the confidentiality or the integrity, I should say the integrity of the information you're receiving. Now, in this here, the FISA court says, if you really need the information, you really believe you need it, you can do it up to 72 hours before you come back to us. That's still the law here today. They don't need this immunity. If they come back, it gets thrown out. All it means is the evidence can't be used against people. I mean, there's no reason not to comply with FISA court. This is the only administration that's refused to do so. This is the only administration that has constantly said, to hell with you, I'll do what I want. Look, today on the House floor, we authorized contempt of Congress charges against Harriet Meyer and Josh Bolton. And I'm sure now we're going to have we got to find a DA to enforce it, a district attorney to enforce it. And I'm sure this will probably end up going through the court system once we start enforcing the records on these district attorneys who are supposed to be above the law, but Bush politicized the appointment of district attorneys, and they fired people because they weren't playing the political game of going to catch Democrats doing wrong or charging people whether they did wrong or not. I mean, someone has to stand up to this administration. This is the most closed administration ever. They had control for 12 years, I should say 8 years since Bush has been there, of the House, the Senate, the presidency, and they've done all kinds of things that trampled our rights. And this is one I believe the House is going to stand firm. this immunity bill will never get to the president.
Well,
if we have to continue to extend FISA, fine. We'll get to the next president, whoever he or she may be.
Well, let me ask you, Congressman, for some encouragement on this.
Sure.
Because just a little history. I've known Nancy Pelosi for 20 years. I have great respect for her. I was delighted when she ascended to Speaker. But I'm bitterly disappointed in the way she has managed this issue. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why the Protect America Act was ever allowed to go to the floor last August to begin with. That's what set up the pickle that you are currently trying to work through. And I don't have confidence that she will not once again be snookered by Mike Hayden or somebody else from the White House into some sort of a deal that they then change the terms of at the last minute and force the issue down our throats. How are we going to really give Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid the kind of political courage and backing that they need to stand firm on this very important issue?
It always helps when the American public becomes engaged and then call the Speaker, call the majority leader, call their member of Congress, tell them to stand firm on this issue. I thought that the voting today, and I think every Democrat voted to authorize these warrants while the Republicans were walking out,
right,
these contempt of court. I, as chairman of Oversight Investigation, I have one going right now against Michael Levitt, secretary of HHS. We want the briefing book of Commissioner Von Eschenbach, as you saw with more drug problems here today from drugs coming in from overseas.
Right.
There's no doubt in our mind he either was misled by his staff and his briefing book would show that, or he deliberately lied to Congress and perjury could be brought forth. 12-0, we had that subpoena authorized, and the Republicans are backing us. We're probably going to be doing another contempt of court. It is time that the American people stand up. I think Nancy Pelosi, in legislation that has to be moved, that we know that we do not have two-thirds vote to override a veto, compromises are made. This is not legislation we need. This is not immunity. Provision does not have to be granted. There's no reason to compromise this one. We can wait out this president. He's got 10 years left. 10 months. Thank God, not 10 years. 10 months left.
Yeah.
And we can actually we can hold this one out. And once the new president comes in, whoever he or she may be, we can go after this immunity issue and bring forth the information. And then let the pieces fall where they may on these companies that went along with the administration.
Now, Congressman,
I find it amazing, as you said, and Quest should get kudos, they at least stood up to them. They stood up to their bullying tactics. They refused to succumb. They refused to trample our constitutional rights. They knew it was wrong. Why didn't these other phone companies know it was wrong? We wouldn't be in this issue if they had the courage to say to the president or the administration, no, we cannot do that. We still have responsibility to the American people. And most importantly, our customers whose rights are going to be trampled.
Now, Congressman, you referenced perjury there. And yesterday there was this dramatic scene in Henry Waxman's hearing room with baseball star, the Rocket Man, Roger Clemens, and his former trainer. One of them lied. And frankly, I don't give a damn. It's not a significant issue to me.
Right.
But yesterday was also reported that Congressman Wexler accused Secretary Rice of misleading the Congress under oath. That's a very significant issue. And yet the media and our leaders are more focused on steroids in baseball than lies coming from our Secretary of State when she is briefing the Congress under oath.
Well, I guess I would disagree somewhat with that. Waxman's doing his job. It's government reform. He's doing his job. Henry Waxman does a great job in that position. He will continue. He's held a number of hearings on Iraq, on the statements, on profiting by Halliburton, Brown, K and Root, and these other companies, and they will continue with that process. What we have done, there has been by Dennis Kucinich a motion to or a privileged motion to impeach Vice President Cheney for his false statements, and that is in the Judiciary Committee. And as they look at that resolution, there's no doubt in my mind, as Chairman Conyers, again, he's from Michigan, of the Judiciary Committee, as he looks at this resolution involving the Vice President, will also take a look at other high officials, such as National Security Advisor at the time, Condoleezza Rice, now Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and probably even the President of the United States. I have, every time Secretary Rice comes to the Capitol Hill. She cannot end the sentence without talking about 9/11. And I have sent letters, and we've gone back and forth saying, why do you, every time you say something about the war on terror, you always bring in 9/11 when the people we are dealing with have nothing to do with 9/11. Can't you just be factual? Leave 9/11 out of it, because you are blurring it and you are misleading the American people. And of course she goes back, oh no, I got to do what I think is, you know. And so, I mean, I agree. I mean, President, the Vice President, Condoleezza Rice, can't end a sentence without saying 9/11.
Yeah.
And that fear, and that they try to get the American people to do things that they know are against our good character, against our good judgment, for fear of 9/11. And those of us who are elected officials, somehow we are somehow then supposed to kowtow to the Bush administration. Strange interpretation of the Constitution and the values of the American people.
Congressman, I got to run to a break here. We'll be right back with Bart Stupak, Democrat from Northern Michigan. If you want to talk with us, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras. Whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajita Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Ladies and gents, turn up your sound system to this sound of Carlos Santana.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 7 minutes in front of the hour. We're talking with the Democrat from Michigan, Congressman Bart Stupak, and he is standing firm in the House of Representatives trying to block the conference committee that would try to water down the House language, which does not give amnesty or immunity to the telephone companies that helped the Bush administration conduct domestic surveillance. This is going to be a very tough battle. Congressman, in our preceding segment, you made a reference to H.R.E.S. 333, which is Dennis Kucinich's impeachment bill against Vice President Cheney. I believe that one of the reasons the Democrats keep caving and losing is that they unilaterally disarmed and took the only real weapon that could rein in the Bush administration, quote-unquote, off the table. Now, I'm not a believer that we have to go full term and remove these two criminals from office, but I believe that we need to honor the constitutional process and really conduct the investigation so the American people know which laws were broken. What is your stand on impeachment, and where would you like to see the investigations go?
Well, impeachment's a very serious constitutional charge, and I think we have to be very, very careful on how we handle it. You cannot make it look like we're somehow it's a tit-for-tat because they impeach President Clinton over a personal matter, which never should have happened. Having said that, the war in Iraq and the way you would apply that, the Bush administration has note because, unfortunately, Congress voted go to the war. So when you say these statements were untrue, you really have to have factual and know that the intent of the false statement knowingly intended to mislead the American people and the government, being the Congress.
Well, I understand your point, but again, I believe that if Conyers were permitted to go forward with the investigations that he started researching in 05, that some of that information would come out. And again, you know, I just want full disclosure to the American people of the most secret and unconstitutional administration that I've seen in my lifetime.
Well, there's no doubt it's the most closed administration I think any of us have seen in our lifetime. And when one party controls the whole apparatus, that's what unfortunately happens at times. The only time I was Democrats in the short time I've been in Congress is was in 93, 94. We had control of all branches. And we actually did some good things for the American people. So you got to be very careful, but power is all corrupting. And the Bush administration, Republicans had too long. And I think there are a number of questions that must be answered. But if it takes us to impeachment, then so be it. But I agree with you, it should be explored, and it should be looked at very, very closely.
Let's take a call. John in Carmel Valley, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Congressman Stupak.
Wiretapping, snooping, all that stuff, it's not new. John Kennedy, the evidence among his biographers is growing as they poke into all the evidence they can find that he was heavily into it. But he never would have, I'm sure, become such a bald-faced advocate, and he never would have had anyone in the Congress out advocating it, like this bunch today that bald-facedly just says in capital letters that the end justifies the means. Anything to support national security. And the reason this is so dangerous that is if you look at history, more ugliness, more rottenness has probably been done in the name of national security than even in outright lawmaking.
Yeah, good point, John. I'm tight for time, but Congressman, I would add to that that the oath of office is to preserve and defend the Constitution, and that is the primary obligation of the President and Vice President.
I agree. And you impeach when they try to subvert our form of government into a different form of government or mislead policy, knowingly, intentionally, falsely lying to the American people. I still go back to the thing that when you come put forth the grounds for impeachment, Congress went along with it. If you ask members, they will, and I didn't vote for the war, but those who voted for the war will say, well, you know, and they try to rationalize it away, and the best cover they have. Getting back to FISA and the wiretapping.
Just 10 seconds, sir. Go ahead.
Sure. Started under FDR. Mm-hmm. So that's how long it's been going on.
All right. Real pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
Keep fighting for us. We need this very much.
Thank you.
Bart Stupak, Democrat for Michigan, member of Congress.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A gunman's rampage on an Illinois campus.
He just stood on the stage in front of everybody and just started shooting.
Mitt Romney embraces John McCain.
I'm officially endorsing his candidacy.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. As many as 17 people are wounded, 4 critically, after a man with a gun opened fire in a lecture hall at Northern Illinois University. Student Elise Jerome says he just walked in on the class.
He had a shotgun down at his side and then lifted up and proceeded to shoot around towards the back corner of the classroom.
Another student, Sheila Cosgrove, barely escaped injury.
I saw a lot of blood. I have blood all over my clothes. Someone probably got shot near me. But I think he was more going for the people on the other side of the aisle because I think there is more blood on that side.
More from CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers.
A gunman described as tall, skinny, and white, wearing a black ski mask, kicked in the door of an ocean studies lecture room in Cole Hall with about 100 students inside. Witnesses say he pulled out a shotgun and maybe a handgun and began firing, hitting a number of people there, perhaps some others in the library. Police confirm now the gunman is dead after turning the gun on himself.
NIU officials say they don't believe the shooter was a student there. Now this.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Valentine's Day's always been special for me and my baby girl. Over the years, we've shared many a candy heart together. And even though she's grown and on her own, my wife and I still like to get her a little something each year. That's my job. So I always go to Walmart. I know they have a favorite candy like Russell Stover and Nestle, and those Dove chocolate hearts. Plus, I can pick out some fresh flowers and a card. So even though I got a late start this year, thanks to Walmart, we were right on time to show our baby love on Valentine's Day.
Walmart. Save money. Live better.
Until recently, John McCain and Mitt Romney were trading shots on the campaign trail, but Romney withdrew after Super Tuesday, and today he endorsed McCain for the Republican presidential nomination.
This is a man capable of leading our country at a dangerous hour. Senator McCain understands the war we're in, the necessity of victory, and the consequences of surrender.
Romney's asking his delegates to support McCain. On the Democratic side, Barack Obama was endorsed today by former Rhode Island Senator Lincoln Chafee, a maverick Republican, and by the 1.3 million member United Food and Commercial Workers Union. Look, up in the sky, a U.S. spy satellite, which failed almost immediately after launch in 2006, will soon fall to Earth. But its fuel tank is loaded with toxic hydrazine, capable of contaminating an area the size of 2 football fields. So as early as next week, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the Navy will try to destroy it with a missile.
The satellite will be 150 miles high, just outside the Earth's atmosphere. The aim is to score a direct hit on the hydrazine tank, spewing the fuel into space. Debris from the rest of the satellite would pose only a small hazard to other spacecraft, officials say, because it would quickly enter the atmosphere and burn up or fall to Earth.
Congress gets a sobering assessment of the economy. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
Saddled with a deepening housing bust and banks growing fearful of making new loans to anyone, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke told the Senate Banking Committee the economy has been deteriorating.
My baseline outlook involves a period of sluggish growth, followed by a somewhat stronger pace of growth starting later this year.
Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson at the same hearing agreed there were plenty of warning signs and worry about the credit crunch, but said things will get better.
The U.S. economy is fundamentally strong, diverse, and resilient.
And he said it should be helped by those tax rebate checks the IRS will start sending out to people in May. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Even if it means more interest rate cuts, Wall Street wasn't happy to hear Bernanke talk about sluggish growth. The Dow erased almost all of yesterday's gains, falling 175 points. President Bush is scheduled to leave for Africa tomorrow, but says he might postpone his departure until the House approves new rules for his domestic surveillance program.
The delay depends on whether the House acts, of course, and they got plenty of time to get this done. But if we have to delay, we'll delay. But I'm going to go to the countries that I said I'd go to.
The current law expires this weekend. The Africa tour does not include a stop in Kenya, where political factions have been feuding since a disputed election in December. But Mr. Bush says he's sending Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice there to demand a full return to democracy. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
Your tires have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa. Replace?
I could do it right there at a great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 12/31/08.
Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the delay in the start of this hour's programming, but I was outside negotiating with a guy who's brandishing a leaf blower to keep a little quiet. Basically, we're observing Valentine's Day today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders there, that thin line between love and hate. There's one radio station, I think in West Virginia, that is observing Valentine's Day by giving away a free divorce. I guess that crosses the line between love and hate, huh? Let me hang up your car. This is the hour we set aside to talk military and veterans issues, and we're joined, as usual, by Scott Dick, our contributor on these matters. He served in the Marine Corps, then jumped over to the Army, where he retired as a major. And we got hella topics to talk about today. I'll tell you that in the second half of this hour, we're going to be joined by a veteran of the Vietnam War, Nestor Cabrera, who is openly challenging Bill O'Reilly. Scott, when you were with us about a month ago, you raised the issue because in an episode where Ed Schultz was a guest on the O'Reilly Factor, O'Reilly was denying that there are homeless veterans in this country, and explicitly he said, oh, there are no homeless vets sleeping under bridges in America. And today there was a protest by homeless veterans and their supporters in front of Fox News headquarters in Manhattan. And we're going to talk with Nestor Cabrera, who is a part of this action, a little bit later this hour. Scott, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks, Peter.
Let's start off with an item that I know you're concerned about. Testimony today on Capitol Hill regarding torture and the Senate's attempt yesterday in a vote 51-45 to ban the interrogation technique that has been considered torture since the Spanish Inquisition, the method called waterboarding. And I've got the clip ready to roll, but why don't you set this up for us?
Well, Peter, I stopped calling it waterboarding. I call it water torture because that's what it is. It's just waterboarding is a nice name, you know, that the CIA's tried to put on something that is torture mm-hmm. and was designed to be torture and is used as torture. And so for the Bush administration to say we don't torture when, in fact, we do torture, then it just it dismays me as paramilitary, and really it sets up a tragedy in the form of our future captured POWs, and we will have future captured POWs. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. So today, an exchange in the Senate, National Intelligence Director Mike McConnell up on the Hill, and this is an exchange about these issues and the Army Field Manual, which, of course, has been changed in different ways over the years, but as I understand it, it currently does not permit waterboarding or water torture, as you accurately call it.
No, there's a new field manual. I just want to point out to you, Peter, that there's a field manual. I find this hilarious, but when you think about it, it's actually necessary. There is a field manual for every aspect in operation and procedure in the United States Army. It covers everything. You can't think of a topic that a bureaucrat has already thought about and written a field manual concerning it. So the field manuals change. I used field manuals that were written in the 50s and the 40s and hadn't been updated since then, and then we went through a big deal in the 80s to update our field manuals. And as you use a field manual, you discover its inadequacies, and, of course, the guys that write the field manuals get information from the field and update it. So the new field manual on interrogation techniques specifically addresses torture and what is described as torture, and water torture is one of those. And so it's an important piece of information that the FBI says that field manual is adequate. The senior generals in the Army who are intelligence experts, they say that's adequate. The only people that say it's not adequate is the CIA. And so it's the part of that. And then what Dana Perino said, I don't know, which clip are you going to play first?
Let's set it up here. I've got a quote from Dana Perino. She defended the president's threat to veto the Senate bill banning waterboarding by citing the age of CIA interrogators. She said they're well-trained professionals with an average age of 40. But U.S. soldiers, on the other hand, are too immature to be trusted, says Dana Perino, who doesn't know the difference between the Bay of Pigs and other episodes of the
Baywatch.
The Kennedy administration. She said that's why they need the Army Field Manual. Quote, this is done at the CIA, and it's done by professionals who are given hundreds of hours of training, who are, I think General Hayden said, an average of age 40, who are being asked to do very hard work in order to protect Americans. The Army Field Manual is a perfectly appropriate document that is important for young GIs, some so young that they're not even able to legally get a drink in states where they're from. Huh?
Exactly. I mean, Peter, here's two things going on. The first thing is it's ridiculous at its core, and it could only play to the Republican base, to the right-wing nuts that were looking for an excuse to allow the CIA to torture people. Now, we did torture, and the CIA admitted it. But remember, Peter, there was two lines of fine print that said, in fact, we may have used the CIA didn't water torture these guys. We may have used contractors to do it.
Right.
So now, is she describing these contractors? Who are the contractors? I mean, think of the ultimate insult to the Constitution to have a surrogate of the United States, a contractor, a government contractor, I'd really like to see the request for proposal for that contract. Wanted contract torturers because we can't do it legally ourselves.
Yeah.
And submit your proposal. Are these guys getting paid? Did they get paid millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars to torture these guys? And so what were their ages? Were they 70 or were they 60? Were they sadist for hire? I don't get it. And for Perino to say that, it just demonstrates her complete unfamiliarity with the military and who actually does interrogations. I guarantee there's not an 18-year-old in the Army who's done anything but hold a dog leash during an interrogation or a flashlight or turn the music up. All those guys are way over 21. Most of them are senior NCOs, some young officers, but they're all professionals who've been in the field and have earned their place. They would not turn over a serious terrorist suspect to an 18-year-old or a 21-year-old or a 25-year-old for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous at its core, and it's just more of the crap that comes out of Dana Perino's mouth. It's amazing.
So here's a sharp exchange between Democrat Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island. He's a former U.S. attorney, so he's a good legal beagle, and Mike McConnell, the National Intelligence Director. Let's listen.
The Army Field Manual was designed for young men generally less experienced, less well-trained.
In uniform?
In uniform. I frankly don't think that's true. And I would challenge it and urge you to maybe reconsider it, because what I understand is that the military has very significant and very experienced intelligence operatives, men who I've spoken to who have 22 years of interrogation experience. They run military intelligence and interrogation schools of 10, 18 weeks duration. They have, I guess you'd call it sort of graduate level courses. This is a matter, you have, you know, special ops individuals, you have DIA folks.
Sure.
You have some of the very best intelligence and interrogation operators in the country, the United States military, and they are the ones who are telling us that they work very well within the confines of the Army Field Manual. And I think it's fair to have the discussion as to whether or not at that level the Army Field Manual is the right restriction or not. What is not fair, I don't think, is to take the military interrogation and intelligence operation and denigrate it as if it's a bunch of 18-year-olds running around who've got no experience doing this, and the Army Field Manual has to protect them from their naivete and their ignorance. Because it's the same field manual that applies to highly trained, highly professional, highly experienced individuals, many of whom have a lot more interrogation experience, it appears, than folks in the CIA.
Well, that's a very interesting comment from Senator Whitehouse, and it is insulting, Scott Dick, that this plays around age and that the Army Field Manual is characterized as something for neophytes only.
The other point, the part that is lost in all this, is she just said kids that aren't old enough to drink in the states that they come from are old enough to go to Iraq and Afghanistan and kill other people and be killed by other people. And so for them, that's okay. But by golly, you know, we don't want them around the suspects. Or, they're too young and too... I mean, it's insulting on so many different levels. People should be outraged. And the fact that... I mean, that just right there argues that the drinking age should be lowered to 18 across the country. It's just stupid. You send these guys off and gals off to combat, and they come back, and they can't... And this is an argument, and they can't even buy... They can't even go to the VFW and have a beer. That's ridiculous on the surface. And that's a different subject, but it's the kind of stupidity that's coming out of D.C., and there's plenty more where that came from.
Indeed. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about, and then we're going to confront Bill O'Reilly and his denial about homeless veterans in America. That's all ahead. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Dial in now at 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
your dentist listen to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Good afternoon. Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Due to an accident reported in Monterey. This is southbound 1 just before Munris Avenue. A couple vehicles mixed it up. They are now over to the right-hand shoulder. Looks like there may be minor injuries, so emergency crews are en route. CHP already on scene. Do need a tow truck as well. Salinas Highway 68 at Laurelis. Grady got an accident. That's over to the right-hand shoulder. Tow truck picking up that vehicle, so you may see a little bit of slowing due to a looky-loos. But again, all lanes are clear. All activity, it is over to that right-hand shoulder. 68 at Laurelis, Grade. And Santa Cruz Mounds, no stalls, no accidents, but reports of a bike rider in the roadway. Last spotted northbound 17 just after Highway 1. So again, this is a bicyclist just in the middle of the lanes. Traffic, it is brought to you by Vicks DayQuil. Cold or no cold, the name must go on. So for the help you need to power through your day, get the non-drowsy multi-symptom relief of Vicks DayQuil. Use as directed. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's your traffic for KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. We're going to talk to a real live veteran from the Vietnam era who has spent some time homeless in America, contradicting Bill O'Reilly's assertion. And this all started with a comment from Senator John Edwards when he was running for president. We'll recap that for you in about 10 minutes and meet Nestor Cabrera, part of a group who were protesting at Fox News headquarters in Manhattan today to try to convey to to Bill O'Reilly that there really are some homeless veterans in America, maybe even the hundreds of thousands that John Edwards cited that started this whole dust-up. Scott Dick, next up I wanted to talk about an article that is posted now at thenation.com and appears in the February 18 edition of the magazine. It's called Denial in the Corps, and it's written by Kathy Dobie, and it takes a look at the scene at Camp Pendleton in Southern California and Marine Corps and some of the people who have been fighting in Iraq. Tell us a little more about this.
Well, first of all, you can rest assured that it's in all the big bases that have deployable and deployed and deploying Marines. So perhaps the reason they're focusing on Pendleton is because they have access. But I would say they're probably doing nothing different at Camp Lejeune or, you know, any of the air stations other than Pendleton. Pendleton just has to be a big infantry base.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is the Marine Corps is a very, very tight organization that really focuses most of their effort on discipline. And any aberration from their standard of discipline, you can just expect to be punished. So if you're on your third tour in Iraq and you come back and you have issues because you have PTSD or TBI, which is incredibly difficult to diagnose, and remember that the Marine Corps has no medical staff or mental health staff of its own. They're all Navy.
Oh.
So, you know, you're not going to get it. Even their chaplains are Navy. So you're dealing with two different forces, and if you have problems and they become behavioral problems, then the Marine Corps' first default setting is to punish you, and they have been. So guys coming back third, fourth, fifth, and I can say guys here because there's less than 7% of the Marine Corps women. They come back from Iraq or Afghanistan, and if they have any kind of issues at all, then they put them in the brig,
mm-hmm.
diagnosed with PTSD or not. Now, the second part of that is when they do seek help, in one case, the Navy psychologist, first of all, took months to get into. In the case of a tragic suicide, took months to get in, and the Navy psychologist said, well, you know, that it's not really PTSD, it's something else. It's a personality disorder. And that's basically what's happening. We're seeing worse than at the post in Colorado Springs,
mm-hmm.
because the Marine Corps adds punishment to it, and then they chapter them out. And I think I explained chapters before, didn't I, Peter?
You have, uh-huh.
And when you chapter out with other than honorable discharge, you get nothing. Nothing from the VA, nothing from the Department of Defense. You are literally on the street, no record of service, no possibility of getting support. And so then it falls back on the family, if they have a family, and they can stay with their family. Because if they're having discipline problems in the Marine Corps, I pretty much can guarantee you they're having discipline problems at home. And we're talking about divorce, interfaces with the police, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
And then acting out behavior that can end up in suicide or just aggressive acts against other civilians.
Mm-hmm.
The president could fix this. He could fix it by issuing an executive order that bans the dismissal of war veterans, Iraqi and Afghanistan war veterans, from dismissal from the service for at least 1 year after they return or while they're in some kind of, you know, treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But the Navy, in this story, these mental health professionals, supervisors, lawyers, went to a seminar, and the Navy psychiatrist said in the seminar that the PTSD doesn't happen in elite units like the Marine Corps. So it's something else. These are behavior problems. These are discipline issues. It's not PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how commanders are encoded. And I have seen it with my own eyes, that when a troop has a problem in his chain of command and is punished, they don't put him in another unit. They don't send their problem child, put quotation marks around that,
mm-hmm.
to another unit so there's a chance that he can be rehabilitated. They put him right back in the same squad he was. So let's say he was disrespectful to that senior NCO, and he's punished, and he might go away and get, you know, 30 days CNC, correctional custody. And when he comes back, he goes right back to work. So how long do you think that relationship lasts?
Oh, 22 minutes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it so they can get rid of the guy, basically, and they're not going to ship off a problem child. They're going to deal with it, put that in quotation marks, and they deal with it by making the troops' life miserable until they can get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And then you add on people who haven't deployed. You got combat veterans, and this has been true in every conflict. Combat veterans come back, and they're treated like boot recruits. And that has to be the most galling of all things when you have some shiny new sergeant given, you know, these combat, hardened combat veterans on their second or third, fourth tours in stupid instructions.
That's Scott Dick on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll talk about homeless veterans and Bill O'Reilly next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Band-Aid heard round the world. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. When Roger Clemens saw his name in last December's report on steroids in baseball, it outraged him. He demanded the chance to respond, and so a House committee put him at a witness table yesterday with Brian McNamee, the trainer who insists that he punched hormone-filled needles into Clemens' buttocks. Well, committee members were determined not to give him a free ride, so they began by reconfirming Brian McNamee's testimony.
You testified that Mr. Clemens on one occasion bled through his designer pants. And a player noticed it, and that's when he bought Band-Aids.
No, don't stop there. Gross us out some more, please.
There wasn't a lot of blood a lot of times, but since he was wearing his dress pants, he bled through, and so he always traveled with those little Band-Aids for his butt if he bled. That's your quote.
Leading to this unforgettable moment in American history.
Mr. Clemens, do you recall any bleeding through your pants in 2001?
Now, there are two ways you can answer that question. One, I don't recall ever bleeding through my pants in 2001, or... yes, I bleed through my pants all the time, so what? Well, as it turns out, Clemens doesn't recall any such fashion faux pas.
I don't.
Maybe they should have tried sleep deprivation. And as you listen to this, you find yourself thinking that all the problems of the world must have finally been solved. Immigration, the deficit, terrorism, every remaining problem of Western civilization must have been fixed, except for the answer to this one last question facing humanity.
Do you recall any bleeding through your pants?
Which is all that stands between us and the end of history. Now this.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax limits.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That... so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/payroll.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy, will be back on the show. Also with Jim, hear from our favorite green person, Jenny Green, and the Green Opinion. And Canyon Construction, a leader in green residential and commercial building and remodeling. Rock Roller Real Estate, where real estate investors meet green companies. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. New computer with high-end sound card, $4,000. Replacing satellite dish blown off roof in storm, $2,500. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains, priceless. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
The birds and the airplane.
live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free, at 1-888-5-PETER-B, and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's Valentine's Day. Hug someone you love.
I can hear the couple fighting right next door. Their angry words sound clear between the walls. Around midnight, I heard them shout, unfaithful one. And I knew right then the axe was gonna fall. It's because of me. It's because of me. I heard him shout, who is he?
Yeah, the message of the song is don't get caught observing Valentine's Day with your secret lover, okay? We continue our weekly visit with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs, and he's got his own great radio show now that follows me on our flagship station, KRXA 540 in Monterey, and he's on every evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Scott, what do you have planned for today?
I have this wild and crazy political chef who's going to be on. We're going to talk about his trip to Spain and the politics there of being an American overseas in 2008. He had spent a month there, and he has lots to talk about, the reaction towards the Bush administration and torture, et cetera.
Very interesting.
It will be fun.
All right. Well, as I mentioned a few weeks back, John Edwards made a comment. You're about to hear a clip of it. And Bill O'Reilly didn't agree with it. The comment was that there are a lot of homeless veterans in this country, some of whom sleep under bridges. And on a follow-up program where our radio friend Ed Schultz was a guest with O'Reilly, Ed took him to task and basically confronted him on this. And today, veterans picketed, protested in front of the Fox News World headquarters on the Avenue of the Americas in Upper Manhattan. And we're going to be joined, we hope, shortly by one of those veterans, Nestor Cabrera, who served in Vietnam. We're also going to talk in a bit with Carol Gardner from Fitzgerald House. They help veterans who are homeless. And the whole idea here is to try to let Bill O'Reilly know just how out of touch he is with the reality of life for veterans in America today. Here's a clip that was produced by Robert Greenwald of Brave New Films, and you can find it on the web at foxattacks.com/vets. Let's listen.
Tonight, 200,000 men and women who wore our uniform proudly and served this country courageously as veterans will go to sleep under bridges and on grates.
I mean, come on. The only thing sleeping under a bridge is that guy's brain.
Fox Attacks, non-existent
for all the,
veterans
sleeping under the bridges, Ed. So if you find anybody, let us know.
I slept under a bridge many a night.
Fletcher, homeless veteran. Patrick Shaw,
on active duty.
I'm a veteran from
Levi Cunningham.
Yeah, did tour in Iraq.
Ryan Sussman.
U.S. Army. I was a cargo specialist. I served in '85.
Because that's all the guys said for the last 3 months.
Don't kid yourself.
They may be out there, but there's not many of them out there.
There's a lot of homeless veterans out there, and anybody that would even imply that there's no homeless veterans is out of touch with reality.
Screen says, we showed the clip at U.S. Vets, a temporary housing facility for homeless veterans.
He's trying to cover it up.
Jason Kelly.
I would say to Bill O'Reilly that
Patrick Shaw.
He and I probably share some similar views, but I don't agree with him on this one thing. I think that he's being a little bit naive.
I don't think he's a veteran.
Bill O'Reilly is not a veteran.
Because if he were, he would know that there are homeless vets out there and that they do need help.
Mike Al Hall.
I would sure like to meet that guy and tell him a thing or two, honestly. I mean,
I'd invite him to sleep out there, too. I said, yeah, is it you sleep over there, I sleep over here. Just sleep one night. And then let's see who's talking crazy.
Demand that O'Reilly apologize to non-existent homeless vets. FoxAttacks.com/vets.
Do something.
That's another great mini film from Robert Greenwald and Brave New Films. I really appreciate the work that they do. And this is another case of trying to confront the corporate media in this country and try to get them to face the truth. Scott Dick?
Peter, let me just jump in there because, he was mocking Edwards, Senator Edwards, while he was making a speech about those 200 homeless vets. Then he came out later and said, oh, the homeless vets, the homeless encampment underneath the bridge, it turns out down in Florida, they're sex offenders, not veterans. So that's, it's as if by admitting that the VA does not take care of our veterans or the United States, somehow it makes it, it's a form of, actually, Peter, it's a form of right-wing political correctness. Let's not talk about homeless veterans. Let's not talk about the VA budget not keeping up with the 300,000 more veterans that are going to seek care with the VA between sick and injured veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq next year.
Well, and let me put a number on that. It's a 14% increase in caseload at the VA, and the Bush administration is giving them a budget increase of 5.5%.
Right, and which is not... It barely keeps up with medical inflation,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the highest rates of inflation that we have is medical inflation because of the medical mess in this country. Now, if you put that side by side with, guess what, the Department of Justice arguing in a lawsuit that, in fact, veterans are not entitled to mental health care, and they argued that in court in San Francisco, actually, last Wednesday, because there are people saying that there's a group suing mm-hmm. to make sure that these veterans get mental health care. And the Department of Justice said, actually, they're not entitled to any care. They're lucky they get the 2 years, and now Bush has changed that to 5 years. But after that, they could be on the street as well. They're arguing there's no commitment to Americans' veterans past what Congress appropriates money for, and the VA provides care until the money runs out.
Right, and what the government argued is that these veterans have no claim to specific types of health care, like mental health care.
Right, so if you go and there's a reject from some other mental health facility who happens to be wearing a VA uniform, they don't literally wear uniforms, but you know what I mean, and he says that you're fine or you have a pre-existing condition or you don't really deserve it, you're done. And there are already still 200,000 claims behind. The Bush administration has done nothing to kick the VA in the butt to make them move faster. It's a traditional bureaucracy, even with McPeak as the head of the VA, he hasn't been able to make many changes. They got the new suicide hotline. I give him credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's brand new. It's last year. And they've hired a bunch of new staff, but they were so woefully inadequately staffed before, they're barely playing catch-up.
That's Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Carol Gardner joins us now on the Peter B. Collins Show. She's executive director of Fitzgerald House. Carol, welcome to our program.
Thank you very much.
Give us a quick sketch of Fitzgerald House and your role with veterans, some of whom are homeless.
Well, I'm the executive director, founder and executive director of Fitzgerald House, which I started about in 2004. And basically this was done because of my brother's returning from the Navy about 20 years ago, and I saw coming back he had nothing, meaning no skills or anything, and, you know, because of what had happened with him turning to drugs and alcohol because of, you know, being depressed, couldn't get a job, my mom had to put him out, and he ended up in the street. So that was really the drive, you know, that I had when I decided to start this project for homeless veterans in 2004. And right now I have housing for 83 veterans between Brooklyn, Queens, and Suffolk County here in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of these veterans that I'm housing right now are senior veterans over 62
mm-hmm.
that, because of their income, they're not able to afford housing, permanent housing, so they end up in a shelter. And I work alongside with the VA hospitals when these veterans go into, whether it be treatment, and would have to go back to the street, they call me, and I'm able to, you know, find a bed to put them in.
Mm-hmm. And so, Carol, point blank to Bill O'Reilly, were you part of the demonstration over in front of Fox News today?
Yes, I was.
And And what was the reaction? Did they send security guards and tell you to disperse?
No. We actually, it was set up with the police department to make sure everything was set up, you know, at an area where we would be. So it was well organized. It was well organized today.
And how many vets turned out?
Just the veterans from Fitzgerald House showed up today.
Uh-huh. And were you carrying signs, or what kind of messages did you present to Bill O'Reilly?
Basically, the message was, my message to Bill is, you know, with him being the type of media personnel that he is, the viewers that he has in this country, I would like for him to reach out to this country to let the entire nation know that there is such a thing as homeless veterans. That we do have veterans that are sleeping in the subway, that are sleeping under the bridges, and sleeping in shelters. I don't consider shelter a home. I know that, you know, the Veteran Affairs Department said that they have over 150,000 beds on any given night. But that's just a temporary solution. That's not a home.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to see is, I'd like to see that more money be put in. And for, I live in New York, for me to pressure the government here, the political entities here in New York, to be able to get affordable housing for these veterans, who the majority of them in the houses right now, their income is about $910 per month. And that's what they're living off.
Yeah. And in New York, like San Francisco, that certainly doesn't go very far.
No.
And Carol, do you think that this made an impression on Bill O'Reilly in any way?
Honestly, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. I can't answer that question. But I'm just hoping, you know, because I would like to sit with Bill O'Reilly. I would like for him to, you know, meet with me. I will take him to the shelters. I will take him to the bridges that they're sleeping under. I will take him in the subway to point out these guys that are veterans. And, you know, one of his statements that, you know, these people are homeless because of their drug abuse and being alcoholics, that's not true. That is not true. I have so many of these guys in Fitzgerald House that are not drug addicts or alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because of hard times.
Yeah. Scott, you want to jump in?
No, I'm just dismayed by the fact that we have citizens putting together homeless shelters for veterans, and the rest of the country is just completely ignorant about this. And Peter, the VA says, in their, by their own accounting, about $195,000 a night, and more, up to a quarter of a million, who are, what are they, less than house secure for the whole year, who spend some time during the year in shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And she's right. Just because they live in a shelter doesn't mean they have a home.
So, Carol, what do you think that my listeners can do to try to help homeless veterans and to try to draw more attention to their plight? Because really, since the Reagan administration, people have become more and more comfortable watching homeless people live around them and feeling that they have no obligation or responsibility toward those people.
I am really hoping that this year being, you know, you know, the political
election year?
The election year this year, that, you know, this, we would be able to reach out to more of these politicians that will really look into this matter and said, okay, we'll set aside X amount of dollars, or we'll set aside properties, because I know here in New York City there are tons of buildings that are owned by the city and that could be turned over to organizations like myself, nonprofit organizations, and get the money to develop them into low-income housing than to turn these properties over to these developers, you know, that are building them up, and then our poor veterans can't afford to live in them.
Mm-hmm. Carol, I want to thank you for joining us. Is there a website for Fitzgerald House?
It's fitzgeraldhouse.org.
.org. And if people are so inclined, could they make a contribution to your nonprofit at the website?
I would love to direct them to fitzgeraldhouse.org. There's a section on there for PayPal to be donated for donations.
Okay. Well, I hope some of my listeners will come forward and assist you. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thanks for confronting Bill O'Reilly.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to take a break and return, and if we can, we'll get in touch with Nestor Cabrera, he was a Vietnam vet who has been homeless. And if not, we'll continue our conversation with Scott Dick. If you want to join in, maybe you've been homeless as a veteran, be happy to hear from you at 888-5-PETER-B. Peter B., 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today.
You're listening to the news. KRXA 540.
Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Do you have a problem actually in South San Jose? This is southbound 101 just as you're approaching Coyote Creek Golf Drive. Watch out for a wooden chest that's been dropped between the two middle lanes right there. And Monterey, southbound 1 before Munris Avenue. An earlier accident, that's been cleared. Also an accident, still final clearing stages in Salinas. Highway 68 at Laurelis Grade. A couple vehicles mix it up. They are over to the right-hand shoulder. CHP still taking a report. An injury accident in Live Oak. Brookwood Drive at Paul Sweet Road. Crews en route to check up on an overturned vehicle which may still be in the roadway or over to the right-hand shoulder, but emergency crews just about on scene. Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mountains, you're checking in stall and accident-free. Don't miss the big Office Depot digital camera blowout and save 20 to 30% on select models. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selection varies by location. Available in-store only. Offers expires February 16th. I'm Diane Morgan for KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you in part by the Organic Wine Company. You love organic fruits and vegetables, wash it down with organic wine. Log on to their website for more information at ecowine.com, ECOWINE, or call them toll free at 888-ECO-WINE. That's a Charlie Daniels band. It's called Still in Saigon. And that's the condition of many of the vets who find themselves living on the streets of America, despite Bill O'Reilly's denial. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Scott, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to reach Nestor Cabrera, but if we do, we'll get him on the line before the end of this hour. I wanted to turn to the discussion earlier this week. Secretary of Gates, who slipped and broke his arm, I don't think it was because it's been twisted so much, but he announced that he he's in agreement with General Petraeus that once we get back to the 2006 levels of about 130,000 troops, that they're going to pause before they draw down any further troops and bring them home. And I am not really surprised by this, because I think it's part of the whole sleight of hand that the Bush administration has been trying to use to lull the American public into a sense that things are getting better in Iraq as we approach November 2008 presidential elections. Do you have any comment on this, and are you at all surprised that probably no more troops will be coming home this year after July?
I am surprised, and I'm not surprised, because they have these five brigades returning are five brigades that are already scheduled to return. So now, did the surge work? Is the surge working? Are the surge working in Bush's vernacular? I don't know. They claim it is. The Iraqi parliament just passed three important laws, and how they're going to be executed, who knows. But if the surge worked, and there are a sufficient number of troops that can be redeployed, why can't we redeploy all of them? If the surge worked and the Iraqis have made these gains and the troop strength of the Iraqi side have increased, as the Iraqis stood up, then we'll sit down, or some nonsense. Remember, Rumsfeld used to say that stuff all the time. Then it doesn't make any sense to me. And it does. It's smoke and mirrors accounting. And that means, if they're going to delay the redeployment, that means there's something there that intelligence is telling them to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe the surge isn't working.
And, you know, the Iraqi Ministry of Foreign Affairs wants them to keep redeploying troops out of his country. So he's not in sync with the Department of Defense. And he made that announcement, on Monday or Tuesday, that he disagreed with their assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this thing going on in Afghanistan where the Joint Chiefs had to move 3,200 more Marines into Afghanistan.
Right.
We are so tight on troops. The Chief of Staff of the Army and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs have also said that the Army cannot sustain this pace of deployment. So sending five brigades back to the United States is not going to do anything to help this situation, because, you know, recruiting's up, sure, but they can't maintain the equipment, they can't maintain the manpower, they can't maintain the professionals. And I will remind people, they're still maintaining the stop loss,
mm-hmm.
8,000 to 9,000 people,
held over by popular demand
against their will, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what they're thinking. I know that Gates, I've gained respect for Gates, because he's made some pretty interesting decisions in the face of the Bush administration declaration. So he may be seeing something developing on the horizon through the intel sources that makes him hesitant to just start pulling people willy-nilly. Or they'll, in June, declare victory and pull five more brigades out, so they have a total of 10 brigades out just before the election,
mm-hmm.
to show how McCain's... And they're going to convert McCain into, you know, they're already converting him into the architect of the surge.
Oh, yeah. He loves to claim that paternity, even though he demanded 100,000 troops and Bush put no more than 30 or 35,000 additional troops in.
Right. Kagan from the Institute of Right-Wing Republican Nuts and General King, retired guy, who's also a right-wing nut, they've faded from paternity for this. But now it's McCain and his... secret strategy to mm-hmm. end the war in Iraq with the surge.
Well, and Bush falsely frames all this. He uses the phrase return on success. And the five brigades that are scheduled to come home that will reduce us back to the level we had in 2006, those are coming home because they have to. And the president is trying to put lipstick on this pig because he really doesn't have any choice. And so he tries to spin it that these troops are coming home because of the success that we have achieved. And the so-called success is built on such wobbly legs as payments to the Sunni Awakening Councils, some of whom have gone on strike now, the forbearance of Muqtada al-Sadr and his Mahdi army. He has held on to the ceasefire, but we have no idea how long that will be maintained. And just the general general failure. Yes, they passed three bills in the parliament in Iraq yesterday, but they're deeply suspicious of one another.
Okay.
And they haven't reached any level of reconciliation, which is what was described as the benchmark by the Iraq study group.
Peter, I think the biggest stabilizing factor, and the right-wing nuts out there can slay me for this if they want, but, you know, Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, is coming to Iraq. And the State Department is encouraging that because anything that keeps Iranians from importing weapons of destruction against our troops is welcome, blah, blah, blah. But we handed the Iraqi government to the Iranians when we picked the people we picked.
Yep.
So that could be the biggest stabilizing effect, is this a real open engagement between the Iranians and the Iraqis.
Scott Dick, thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter.
To you again real soon.
Okay.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
I just couldn't believe this was happening. It seemed like it wasn't real.
It was all too real for Katie Wagner and other students at Northern Illinois University. A gunman sprang bullets inside a lecture hall. Latest word from the DeKalb police chief is that five people are dead, including the gunman who took his own life. More than a dozen people are wounded. Wagner says everybody hit the floor until the shooting stopped.
Maybe about a minute that we were just laying on the ground in silence, not knowing what we should do. And then, you know, I said I was talking to the guy that was in front of me, and we decided that we could make a run for it.
The gunman was dressed in black. Campus officials say they do not believe he was a student at NIU.
I always, you know, thought, like, if I was in this type of situation, how I would react and what I would be feeling. And I don't think I was feeling any of that. I think I was just really in shock.
The entire 25,000-student campus is in shock. Tomorrow's classes are canceled. Some specifics now on what the government has against Barry Bonds, who's charged with lying when he said he never used steroids. A court filing in San Francisco today says Bonds tested positive for steroids in November 2001, just a month after hitting his record 73rd home run of the season. Mitt Romney, who dropped out of the race last week, has dropped the other shoe.
I am honored today to give my full support to Senator McCain's candidacy for the presidency of the United States.
What's more, he's urging his delegates to support McCain at the Republican convention. As rivals, Romney and McCain went at it on the campaign trail, but now all is forgiven.
He ran a hard, tough, and frankly a campaign that helped me become a better candidate, not only in the primary, but also in the general election.
Hillary Clinton, campaigning in Ohio today, suggested that Barack Obama wouldn't stand up to corporate special interests.
We need a fighter and a champion in the White House again for the American people.
Obama's been endorsed by the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. Half of its 1.3 million members are in Ohio. As early as next week, a Navy cruiser in the Pacific will try to destroy a disabled U.S. spy satellite 150 miles overhead. CBS News reporter Tom Foti has the story.
Security and science officials feel it is worth a shot, literally a shot, to keep the fuel tank of a dead satellite from coming back to Earth. It carries potentially dangerous toxic gas, so the president has given the go-ahead. General James Cartwright is vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
We'll take one shot and assess, and then we'll come back and look.
Risks?
There is almost nothing we can do here that makes it worse. Almost everything we can do technically makes it better.
Space Agency Administrator Michael Griffin. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke told Congress today he expects the economy to be sluggish in the months ahead. That sent the stock market lower. The Dow Industrials down 175 points to 12,376. The Nasdaq lost 41. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea. And don't worry about me. I'll be fine on your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in. Keep going.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, let's see. Progressive is more than just cascading waterfalls and lush green gardens. It's all your auto insurance wants and needs, like the chance to save hundreds and the fact that we're there for you 24/7 to answer any questions. And they're not answered by magical nymphs, but by licensed agents, which is nice. Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Mayfield, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On Capitol Hill today, members of Congress paid tribute to one of their own, California Democrat Tom Lantos, who died Monday. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has the story.
When you walk through a storm.
One of his granddaughters sang, "You'll Never Walk Alone," one of many tributes to Tom Lantos, the only Jewish survivor of the Nazi Holocaust elected to Congress. He became a hero of human rights causes. Senator Joe Biden spoke of
Tom's incredible contributions to the nation and the world.
All you need is love.
Irish rock star Bono led members of Congress in a Beatles song in memory of Tom Lantos.
All you need is love.
Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Love is all you need.
Actor David Groh has died. For three TV seasons in the 70s, he played Joe Girard, the handsome guy who married Rhoda Morgenstern. The sitcom love story ended in divorce. David Groh was 68. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Valentine's Day's always been special for me and my baby girl. Over the years, we've shared many a candy heart together. And even though she's grown and on her own, my wife and I still like to get her a little something each year. That's my job. So I always go to Walmart. I know they have a favorite candy like Russell Stover and Nestle, and those Dove chocolate hearts. Plus, I can pick out some fresh flowers and a card. So even though I got a late start this year, thanks to Walmart, we were right on time to show our baby love on Valentine's Day.
Walmart. Save money. Live better.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Observing Valentine's Day today on the Peter B. Collins Show. Evis?
Wise men say,
sing along, just don't miss the greenback exit, okay? Peter B. Collins Show. This hour is set aside for your phone calls, and we pay for it. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. It's 888-573-8372. You know the rules. You can talk about any subject, offer any point of view, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice, including podcast and online listeners. The live stream's available right now, and we welcome your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. We've talked a lot about the FISA law. We've talked about homeless veterans and a range of other issues. So if you want to comment on those or bring up a subject of your own, you're welcome to join us here in the Free Speech Zone. And if you're shy about talking on the radio, drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And we do get emails, some positive, some negative. This one is critical, came in from Chris in Sacramento, commenting on yesterday's program. I heard you today when you said that Hillary objected too strenuously to David Schuster's filthy comments about Bill and Hillary pimping out Chelsea. First off, let me say that I'm no Hillary supporter. I voted for Obama. But it's clear to me after listening to you today that you're part of the media problem, not part of the solution. We Democrats need to get in the face of the corporate media, not run and hide. We need liberal broadcasters who support any effort to get in the face of the corporate media, not ones who want to score cheap political points at any cost. I know you don't like Hillary. I don't care for her much either. But to drag her down and belittle her for fighting back against the Republican filth machine just breaks my heart. It makes me wonder if you really have a clue about what's going on in the corporate media. Any Democrat who takes on the Republican filth machine deserves our full support, not the questioning of motives like the RNC might do, even if it's a Democrat we don't want to see get the nomination. Well, Chris, I appreciate your point of view, and I hear your criticism. What I was looking for there was, and this was in a conversation with Eric Bollert from Media Matters, and Media Matters has kind of set itself up as the Hillary Clinton defense entity. And it's fair to say that Media Matters does a great job. They have received a lot of money, their funding, from people affiliated with the Clinton campaign. And so what I was trying to weave in there was my point of view, which is that I don't condone David Schuster's remark. And at the same time, I don't think that it is as vicious or cruel or crude as the Clinton campaign has made it out to be. And I think they are seizing on this opening, trying to push back on Chris Matthews and others at MSNBC. And they deserve a lot of criticism, Chris. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of sexism and a lot of locker room chatter that goes out over MSNBC. Now, to be fair, the reason they do it is they're chasing the Fox News channel. And I haven't heard the word pimp used about Chelsea Clinton on Fox, but I don't spend much time over there. However, the tone of their coverage alternates between the mock respectful, where they'll talk about Senator Clinton and Senator Obama. But you know from the tone, you know from the subtext, that they think these are crazy liberals who don't even deserve to be running for president. And so it really is the influence of Fox News, I think, that brings out the worst in MSNBC. And I accept your criticism if you think that I was trying to justify what David Schuster said. My issue is more the response of the Clinton campaign. And again, I think they are trying to use this particular episode to get the upper hand and push for better coverage for Hillary. Now, given Chris's comment, I want to open up the issue to other listeners and ask you if you think that the media has been unfair to Hillary and easier on Obama than they should be. That is a prevailing thought that I'm picking up in the threads of various emails that I receive. And so tell me your thoughts. Do you think the media actually favors Obama? And do they do so because they really secretly or not so secretly favor the Republicans and they think Obama is the easier Democrat to beat? I don't personally buy that argument, and I hear it coming from a lot of Clinton supporters, that they think the Republicans want to run against Obama. I actually think the Republicans want to run against Clinton, because she unifies the Republicans like nobody else does, and she can be that negative icon that the Republicans use to heighten their turnout, because they're suffering from incredibly low turnout in the these primaries to date. Roughly twice as many Democrats have shown up for primaries and caucuses as Republicans across the nation. I also get emails from people who like what we do. Jim in Sacramento writes, I recently wrote to Senator Feinstein urging her to oppose retroactive amnesty for telecom companies for illegally spying on Americans at the behest of the Bush administration. As you predicted, Feinstein did the opposite. Like you, I will never support her again. I was very, it varies in bold, I was very encouraged by the comments of Congressman Bart Stupak on your show today. It sounded as though he believes he can prevail on this issue in the House. I am now writing Speaker Pelosi a letter I will send by fax to her offices in Washington and San Francisco, urging her to use all her power, influence, and authority to prevent the Bush administration from succeeding in this attempt to eviscerate the Fourth Amendment. Perhaps a few more letters, faxes, and phone calls will help. Thanks for staying on top of this. Signed, Jim in Sacramento. Let's go to your calls now. We've got from Trinidad, California. Let me scroll up here. It's Jenny. Hello, Jenny. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have two questions, and I'll get to them in a minute. I've been listening to your program for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to sort of fill in with my a short biography. I've been a Democrat since I was 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
in the 30s. I'm horrified by what's happening now. I'm reading The Nation, listening to you. My dad was career Navy. He was away for two-thirds of my life because of the Second World War. He was in Pearl Harbor at the day of the attack, and he was awarded a commendation for bravery because he tried to save the captain, and regardless of his own life, my dad's life. There are hundreds of people like me. Obviously, I'm old. I'm 75. And I haven't known what to do. You listen to people. The only thing I can think of doing is wearing a sign and marching in the street. My two questions of you are, there's a book out called The Bound Man. It's about Obama and why he can't be president. That's one question. The other question is, what's happening to your program and why are you having to be defensive about your program? And
okay, let me take those, Jenny. First of all, regarding the program, I don't feel defensive. What we are doing is trying to keep the Sacramento station that carries our program thriving and sustainable. And they have notified us that if the situation doesn't improve, that they plan to change format there in May. Mm-hmm. And so my effort here is to rally our listeners in Sacramento and elsewhere to help support Progressive Talk Radio by supporting our sponsors and advertisers and by helping us locate new firms that could advertise to support this effort. As you know, we are outgunned 9-1 by conservatives on radio across the country. And likewise, corporate America has, by and large, shunned Progressive Talk Radio and Air America. And so what we need to do is reach out to the people who we know, who share our views, who share our concern for the future of the country, and who believe that open dialogue like this is a very important component to taking back the country from the neocons and the greedy people who have taken over and trying to gut our Constitution and really change this into a fascist state. And so the appeal is, if you go to my website at peterbcollins.com, there's a document I put up there called the Peter B. Challenge. And I am asking our listeners to rally at this point to help us keep KSAC in Sacramento and also to help the overall business of Progressive Talk Radio grow, because it is essential to our survival.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do that.
And what was your first question? I wanted to answer that one for sure.
Well, my first question was about the new book.
Oh, the book. Yeah, The Bound Man. I'm not familiar with that. Do you know the author?
No, I don't.
All right.
Sorry.
We will look it up and try to track it down. And if it is a credible book, then we will bring the author on the program and let you hear his or her point of view.
Okay. Thank you.
Jenny, thank you for listening, and thanks for caring. I really appreciate it. Not enough time for another call, so let's go to our break now, and we'll get right back to the Free Speech Zone. Got lines available for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Do you believe coverage to date has favored Obama over Clinton? I'd like to know your thoughts on that. 888-573-8372. Grab the podcast on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540. wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, this is Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Taking a look at your KRXA traffic. Fairly quiet evening commute. There's just one accident to tell you about. It's in Live Oak, Brookwood Drive at Paul Sweet Road. This is an injury accident. A solo vehicle had overturned, had been overturned in the roadway for quite some time. At this point, though, all activity is over to the right-hand shoulder. You're still going to see emergency crews, tow truck, and CHP on scene begin. All lanes are open. Brookwood Drive at Paul Sweet Road in Live Oak. That's the site of this accident. Other than that, no stalls, no accidents. Santa Cruz Mounds, both directions of 17, looking pretty good. Southbound, though, you're a little bunched up from the summit into Santa Cruz. And southbound Highway 1, also, you're just staring at the brake lights from Monterey into Carmel. And eastbound 25 stacked up out of Gilroy into Hollister. Traffic brought to you by Carfax. Airbags save thousands of lives in the Monterey area every year. Are the airbags in the used car you're buying working? Step 1 to finding out. Ask to see the Carfax Vehicle History Report before you buy or go to Carfax.com. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's your KRXA traffic.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Valentine's Day.
I'm in the mood. I'm in the mood of love. I'm in the mood. I'm in the mood of love. I'm in the mood. I'm in the mood.
That's the late, great John Lee Hooker. I'm the healer. It's called In the Mood. I hope you and your lovebird are in the mood. And you can call in if you want to shout out to your Valentine. I can live with that. Keep it brief so we don't impose on other people. But that's a fair way to use your free speech rights at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Marco in Colombo Valley, thanks for calling. Marco, did you survive?
Hello, this is Michael in Carmel Valley.
Oh, okay. I got Marco in Colombo Valley. Hey, Brian. Carmel Valley. I know that better than Colombo Valley. I wasn't sure where that was.
Well, Peter, we're probably talking or preaching to the choir, but it's obvious to me that the corporate media would much prefer to be helping the conservative efforts against the Clintons. They come with so much baggage, and right now they're kind of perplexed, I'm sure, because it looks like Obama, because he's got the only Democratic insurgency of this kind since John Kennedy, they may not have a say in who they get to pick and choose, but they're going to do their worst to make sure that they get to match up against Hillary, just because she's got such high negative numbers to begin with,
mm-hmm.
And awesome, their time is over. It's time for change, and I mean real change.
Well, Michael, I certainly agree with you, and I think it is interesting because in this Tuesday's primaries, Obama picked up enough of committed delegates that he is now ahead of Clinton. The superdelegate computation varies depending on who does the counting. But it does appear, based on the numbers, that Clinton has to have huge victories in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Texas in early March in order to get to the convention and have anything to argue over. And so momentum is certainly in Obama's direction. I do caution you, though, that those three states, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Texas, so far the polls show that Obama is rising, but Clinton still has significant margins, I think.
Well, this isn't over by a long shot. But my second question is, do you have a rough handle from all of the different sources what the comparative turnouts at the caucuses and elections have been in terms of gross numbers of how many Democrats have voted in the process so mm-hmm. far and how many Republicans have gone out to the polls?
I don't have the numbers themselves, but I did hear Chuck Todd, the NBC political director on Hardball last night, saying that it's roughly 2-1, that Democrats have turned out in numbers twice as large as Republicans. Pretty much that's the tally in the primaries and caucuses to date.
A great part of that's got to be contributed to the fact that Obama is the first bright sign on the horizon in a long, long time, and he's got a heck of a fight ahead of himself against the machine as well-oiled and as establishment as Hillary Clinton's.
Indeed. Michael, thank you for your call today.
Thank you, Peter.
Appreciate it. Billy Sunshine, Capitola, California, you're next.
Well, happy Valentine's to you. I'm very fond of you and your show.
Well, thank you.
So, you're right about the reaction to the pimped out comment. I actually heard it when he said it. It didn't bother me that much. And I'm going to feed this into the question you're asking.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, Hillary's not getting as good press as Obama. Because, you know, in the real world, Obama is more exciting to human beings, that the press is, as well as the rest of us. You see, you know, when Hillary says, what has he done? Well, that's what he's done. He's beat your inevitable butt. And that is actually means something. He's the right man at the right time, and it doesn't matter what he's done in the past. It's what we can help him do, which is the whole point of his thing.
Well, Billy, you just mentioned the word time, and timing is what Obama has shown he is incredibly deft at. His timing has been impeccable, and I want to retract some criticisms that I've offered over the last year or so, because I thought that he was going a little too slow, being a little too vague. And I think that what we see in the results of the primaries and caucuses is that he played this thing beautifully. And he
pressing at the right time, you bet.
Yeah, and he connected with people where they live, which is not in policy wonk talk.
No.
And Hillary's out there. She's working very hard, and I give her a lot of credit. She's doing everything she can to persuade voters that on day one, she'll be ready to hit the ground running. And I'm sorry, what she doesn't see is that despite all of the plotting that she has done since 1999 or 2000 to run for president in 2008, her timing is off.
Things change. And one other thing about timing, the reason we have to have the Democrats now do something about all the criminality and all the investigating is because when we do have Obama as president, we have to make nice to the other side. So we don't want to have to try to start that with the new president. They need to start that now so that Obama can have a cleaner slate. How about that? Nobody said that reason.
Well, number one, I don't accept that the theme of the campaign, this post-partisanship, has to necessarily dictate how he would rule as president. And he's a constitutional scholar. I hope that he will fight for the Constitution and our rights to know when it was violated by the Bush Co. Remains to be seen, but that's my hope there. Thank you, Billy.
You bet, bud.
More coming up, 888-5 Peter B., the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Hal on behalf of the Central Avenue Bakery. Tina and her staff want to thank all of you for becoming regulars at the Central Avenue Bakery at 173 Central Avenue in beautiful Pacific Grove. February is a special month at the Central Avenue Bakery as they celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian buffet and a free glass of wine with every dinner. Space is limited, so make your reservations for Valentine's Day now. Then, at the end of February, Central Avenue Bakery celebrates its third anniversary with live music, free food, and prizes. Enjoy organic foods, pastries, and coffee. They also have a gluten-free menu and many organic gluten-free pastries. Stop by one of my favorite restaurants, the Central Avenue Bakery in Pacific Grove, today.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And as with all antidotes, please apply liberally. 33 minutes after the hour, we're in the free speed zone. 888-5-PETER-B is our number. You can call me right now, toll free. It's Valentine's Day, different strokes for different folks. This one's called I Love You, You Pay My Rent.
You dress me up.
Peter B., feel free to check in with us here in the free speed zone. And it looks like Enid Goldstein is on the line, superstar of talk radio from Sacramento, San Francisco, and even Denver. Hi, Enid.
Hey, Peter B., happy Valentine's Day to you.
Well, thanks, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I was driving along, and your wonderful show is provocative as always, and I wanted to weigh in on the David Schuster comment.
Yeah, pimp him up.
Pimping out Chelsea.
Right.
Well, first of all, you know, one of the things we hear in this exciting race between Barack and Hillary is, can a black man win the nomination or can he win the election?
Mm-hmm.
We're hearing less about can a woman win, although it's been, you know, it's been a little bit part of the dialogue.
Right.
But I am reminded of that comment by Susan Sontag that men never forgive women for having been their mothers. And I think there's so much more anger toward women, and it's unexpressed. And I think the pimping out comment had been used about Barack Obama's children, which are too young, they are too young to help out right now.
Yeah.
It would have been considered racist. And I think Bill Clinton's right. He did, Schuster would have been fired for it. And Schuster's a wonderful reporter. And I think the depth of how this is the water the fish swims in is so great that he didn't even think twice about it. He just said it. I don't think he thought it was going to get him into trouble.
Well,
nobody has talked about Huckabee's kids helping out and pimping Romney's
son.
Nobody's used that term.
Right. Well, you know, I think also if we think back to the Don Imus flap, we have white guys who are trying to be hip and cutting edge and provocative and, you know, the term that radio program directors use, edgy. They like edgy, you know, get in their face and get edgy. Make people pound the dashboard. You know, that's good talk radio.
Right.
Well, you know, David Schuster is a victim of that same thing.
I'm sure you're right. I absolutely agree with you.
But he
never would have gone to a racial area. It's still okay to put down women, and he didn't think twice about it. It was reflexive.
Yeah, yeah. And I would agree with you that sexism is considered a boundary that you can cross and just jump back and everything will be okay. Racism, not the same. You cross the line and it's Brer Rabbit. you've got evidence on your fingers.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you can't even use the term Brer Rabbit either.
Really? Am I in trouble now?
Well, you might be in trouble. We had a prolonged discussion about that one day. And the other point I want to make, too, is that in this hot race, we've got Harvard versus Yale, two lawyers, you know, two couples.
Right.
Two lawyer couples each, on the Harvard side and the Yale side.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ivy League will never be the same, I'm sure.
Right, and in either case, we're going to have a first spouse who will be difficult to control.
Well, they've probably always been more difficult to control, and we just haven't, you know, they haven't been as obvious about it. What would you say about Nancy Reagan?
Oh, yeah. Well, but she, you know, just talked to her astrologer and kind of kept that under wraps. But a great piece, a lengthy article about Michelle Obama in today's New York Times, and they use polite language to describe her as unpredictable and hard to control.
Well, yesterday's Wall Street Journal had a big piece on her. I haven't seen the one in the Times today, but I'll look for it.
Yeah.
But it should be exciting, whichever way it goes.
Sure is. Enid, thanks for checking in today.
Thank you, Peter B. It is always a pleasure to listen to you. You are wonderful.
And are you still doing TV in Sacramento?
Not so much.
Okay. Well, then we won't plug it.
But thank you for that.
All right. Good to hear from you. Enid Goldstein, a great old friend. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the weekly feature that nobody asked for. Oh, wait a minute. That's the wrong one. Hold on. Your operator made an error.
Trash.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, every week we try to check in with a journalist who's been fired from 13 major daily newspapers, and he now publishes on his own at Post Times Sun Dispatch on the web, ptsd1.blogspot.com. And he, in fact, is reporter R.J. Shulman. R.J., how are you?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great because during one of those day-long commercial breaks we had a couple of minutes ago where we were trying to repeatedly protect people from identity theft, I took a peek at today's top stories at PTSD, and once again, you've got the angles on the stories that the corporate media never brings us. For example, George W. Bush on the FISA law. Your headline reads, Stop Frivolous Lawsuits Against Patriotic Phone Companies. What's the president's angle on this, RJ?
Well, the president's angle is, and I'm quoting here, he said, what the American people must understand is that we can't have sue-happy trial lawyers stop our glorious phone folks from being able to protect the case the American people from their biggest enemy, the American people.
He said that?
Yeah, he said that. I know nobody else picked up on this because they were too busy talking about Roger Clemens or David Schuster or who else was going to use a bad word on the air, but this is what he said.
Yeah, amazing. You go on to quote him, how else could we know that what Obama will do after 9/11? He could be strategizing to take over the decider role and end my royal presidency. Also, without tapping the wires and dropping the eaves, we could never be in the know about whether Roger Clemens took some female growth hormones, which threatens to have our national pastime be ruined by terrorist drug pushers. Huh? Wait a minute. Roger Clemens is somehow linked to terrorism?
Obviously, anybody that would want to destroy baseball, in the president's view, is attacking America. It's like attacking Chevrolet or you know, motherhood or apple pie, and so that's and as you know, Bush has a real connection and love for baseball, so I think he's really worried about this.
Right, it made him the millionaire that he is. Some friends helped him get really rich through the Texas Rangers. And your final quote is from the vice president: "If the House does the right thing and passes the new FISA bill, then I can say, in all honesty, if you will, that privacy is in its last throes." Wow, I'm sure he said that. It's just nobody else has the courage to report it, RJ.
Well, that's why I have to hide out in a bunker, because you cannot survive in the mainstream media if you're going to tell the truth.
Yeah. Next story is about John McCain voting for torture. We discussed this on the program earlier, that here's the guy who has publicly said that waterboarding is torture. He has publicly said he's against torture. He's tried to publicly negotiate with Dick Cheney to ban torture. And yet, when a simple law is passed by the Senate banning waterboarding because it's torture, Mr. Anti-Torture votes against it.
Yeah, that was a real shocker for a lot of people.
Yeah. And what's the angle you get there at PTSD?
Well, we're quoting McCain, and then this is an actual quote, again, that was missed by everyone. He said, the surge is working and torture works. I know from personal experience. When those North Vietnamese soldiers stuck a hot poker up my keister, I spilled the beans. Why do you think we lost the Vietnam War? And he ends by saying, I gave away all the secrets. Now, how is that for straight talk?
Wow. That's the side of John McCain that we haven't seen. It hasn't leaked out of the Straight Talk Express.
No, and I think that this is one of the reasons why the conservatives are so nervous about McCain, because he does, he's kind of a loose cannon, and he'll say things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily for his candidacy, this one seems to have, again, escaped the mainstream press.
Well, and you have two juicy quotes here. Dana Perino: allowing torture is good for the economy. Manufacturing waterboards and hot pokers provides jobs. And, well, they did move to Chinese factories, but the companies making profits and pay taxes on those items, except when they have moved their headquarters offshore and get tax breaks. Well, there must be a reason. And then a final quote from Dick Cheney: what I want to know are the names and addresses of all those who think that torture doesn't work. Whoa! That's a little ominous.
I think so. He probably knows them anyway from all of the eavesdropping and wiretapping that they've done. So
yeah, there's a good chance that that's the case. All right, finally, one more story. Dems told not to worry over superdelegates. November black box will eat them too. What are you telling us here, RJ?
Well, what this is it really doesn't matter about all this bickering that's going on between Obama and Clinton, and all of the worrying that Democrats are going to do, that superdelegates will overturn the will of the people, because the GOP is just going to bring out their black box, and McCain's going to win by a considerable amount.
Wow.
That's the story.
So we ought to just roll it up now and save our time and effort and the convention in Denver and all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's exactly true. As a matter of fact, there's a quote from one unnamed source that basically says that they already have the vote count for the 2008 election.
Oh, geez. That's a little depressing, RJ.
I think so.
All right. Well, thank you very much. People can read all about it, ptsd1.blogspot.com. That's reporter RJ Shulman. See you later, RJ.
Okay, have a good one. Okay,
bye-bye. Back to your calls now. Jen is on the line from Sacramento. Hello, Jen.
Hi, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Well, same to you, lovebird.
Thank you. Well, you already know my take. I'm Hillary all the way. And if you recall, several weeks ago, if not months, I said that they would pump Obama up because it would be easier to beat him. And essentially that, as far as I'm concerned, is what's going on now. I find it really hard to believe that everybody just wants to find something negative about her, and nobody talks about the negativeness about Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs are supposed to be the number one no-no. We're supposed to be telling our kids, say no to drugs and so forth and so on. So I don't understand why they would pump up somebody that knowingly and admittedly said, I use drugs. Okay?
Wait, Jen. I believe that is something that inoculates him, because the problem that Bill Clinton had was his I didn't inhale. You know, he acknowledged that he may have smoked some pot, but he tried to soften it by saying he didn't inhale. And Bush, we know, was a druggie, and he just completely, refused to talk about it. And there was an effort to sink him right before the election by revealing his drunk driving conviction in Maine. But he basically was permitted to just dodge and deny the whole issue all the way along. And I believe that Obama's honesty about it takes it away as an issue. It's to use a California comparison, it's like trying to accuse Willie Brown of, cheating on his wife. Everybody knows he's been cheating on her for 30 years, and nobody cares.
Right. But, again, with everybody, Hillary, 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 but I find it really interesting that when they're talking about Hillary, 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 in actuality what they say is because of what Bill did, Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. Bill started the NAFTA, so Hillary has to pay. Bill cheated on her with Mark Lewinsky, so Hillary has to pay. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that they can really say about Hillary is about her voting. But what I like to remind everybody is that, one, Obama was not a senator at the time that she voted, but when he was in 2004, he said that he would have done exactly what Bush did. And so as a consequence, if he said he would do exactly what Bush did, isn't he going along with the program just like everybody else? And so I just, like I told you, I really believe that they're pumping him up and they're putting him up and pushing her down. And then when it's all said and done, we will have that crazy person McCain, and we will have four more or eight more years of Bush.
Well, Jen, your concerns there I do not dismiss, because McCain has now reached out to Karl Rove. And he's decided Rove is a brilliant strategist who can help him win the presidency. Also, McCain has accepted the help of Mercer Reynolds. He's a millionaire from Cincinnati, an old crony of George W. Bush, who raised all that money from pioneers and all those other fat cats in both cycles for Bush-Cheney. And so McCain has signed on to the whole Bush-Co program. And that includes character assassination, swift voting of the Democratic nominee. And yes, I believe that they will hit Obama just as hard as they would hit Clinton. The problem for me is that we already know all of the baggage that Hillary has out there. And there may be some hidden baggage for Obama. The biggest dings on him are the Resco problem in Chicago. And for me, it's his national security advisor's big nephew Brzezinski. Those, I think, are both things that, at this point, appear to be survivable on his part. But I do understand your point, and I agree that Obama will be subject to heavy swift voting by the Republicans. I just happen to think that he will be able to withstand it better than Hillary. And well, this talk that she's all been vetted and been through the process, I don't buy that.
Yeah, well, one can only hope, because all we can do is be wrong and be in trouble. So that's all I can say. So have a great Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Jen. Great to talk with you. More of your calls coming up straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Well, your final look at KRXA traffic, actually not too bad. Don't have any stalls or accidents to let you know about. So southbound Highway 1, you're stacked up between Monterey and Carmel. Eastbound 25, you're going to see some sluggish traffic as you head out of Gilroy and into Hollister. Eastbound 1 and 29 as well, you're staring at the brake lights between Watsonville and Aromas. Both directions of Highway 17, you're checking in stall and accident free. Southbound 17, though, you're bunching up as you come from the summit into Santa Cruz. Also some long-term road work to be aware of. That's in Santa Cruz. Northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp, that's shut down. And it's actually scheduled to be shut down all the way through summertime. So that's how long you have to make your way around the cones right there. KRXA traffic, it is brought to you by Carfax. Airbags save thousands of lives in the Monterey area every year. Are the airbags in the used car you're buying working? Step one to finding out, ask to see the Carfax vehicle history report before you buy, or go to Carfax.com. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's your KRXA traffic.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view, and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Well, come on everybody, get into the spin. Now that he's been in for however long it's been, grin a good old grin, tuck in your second
your chin. And everybody do the Clinton. Come on and slide over to the middle.
Over to the middle.
Straighten up and step line.
Up and step line.
Lean it to the left a little.
To the left a little.
Now lean a lot to the right.
Lot to the right.
Come on and take a definite position.
Definite position.
Now do a total turnabout.
Total turnabout.
Shake your finger at the media. See how quick they'll beat you.
Everybody do the Clinton.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. That's Roy Zimmerman and his old band, The Four Men. That was released, 1994 or 1995. And a lot of it rings true today. Susan in Sacramento, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. I wanted to address the question you said about Hillary, whether she was being, and the last listener too, that she was being discriminated against or that the press was against her.
Right.
But Hillary advertises, I mean, one of her big things is that she's been tested. She's been there. She's been tested. Well, I would suggest that she was tested and failed the first time when she voted for the powers to go to war to President Bush.
Mm-hmm.
But she said she'd been cheated. Okay, well, or lied to, I mean. And then, you know, when it came up again with the Patriot Act, that business, she again voted for it. She has her finger to the wind, and I think now she's gotten a little unsure because, you know, yesterday when they had the vote on the FISA Act, the
right,
okay, and indemnifying the telephone companies. Well, you know what she did?
She wasn't there.
She wasn't there.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So she couldn't figure out which way to go, so she just decided she wouldn't vote. She should have been there for us. This woman who is tested, she failed.
Well, unfortunately, she was going door-to-door in San Antonio, Texas, trying
Obama
to...
Yes, Obama flew back. Obama flew back.
Mm-hmm.
At least I understand that from Rush Limbaugh. You know,
well, he did vote. He was present, so...
Yes, he voted no.
That is true.
That's right. He went and voted. It was important to vote. That was a very important thing to vote, even if.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I'm not letting her off the hook.
Right.
I do understand that it's difficult to run for president, and you can't be in Washington when you're trying to win a primary in Texas. But I agree with you that this is one of those votes that is more important than who gets to be the next president.
How long they've got? They can fly back and forth. The Clinton. I mean, she loaned her campaign some. Where the heck she gets $5 million or whatever she loaned her campaign?
Well, and she won't release her tax returns until after she's the nominee. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, listen, this woman is tainted. I mean, she's just—it's a machine, and I'm sorry because I was so thrilled to have a woman running.
Yeah. Well, Susan,
I
appreciate your honest remarks, and I'm glad that you're not captive to identity politics. And I just hope that people will listen and make their own decisions properly. Thank you very much. Jim in Auburn, you're next, listening to KSAC. Go ahead, Jim. Line two, I think you're Jim. Who's this?
Oh, Stan.
Stan in Blue Lake. Now that I scroll down, I find you there. Hello, Stan.
Oh, dear, well, I'm half sorry you found me, Bitterby. You know, I date all the way back to the Peyton Place novel. I don't know if you remember it.
Oh, that's a long time ago, yeah.
Yes, but it talked about people across the tracks. And then later on, of course, we talked about trailer trash. And I'm sitting here, and really, I'm an Obama man now, but I was a Hillary person up until I heard hope and surprise in the wonderful oratory coming out of the man's mouth. But I'm wondering if one of the reasons, and I'm not trying to absolve anyone,
mm-hmm.
that a man like Schuster thinks of using the word pimp is because the daughter of those people belongs to those kinds of people. Now, listen, I'm already flagellating myself for saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have been considered trash.
All right, Stan, for that, go sit in the corner and say, I will not be like David Schuster 500 times.
Okay, and I will not call you again with this kind of stuff.
Well, you know, some of it is silly, and some of it is understandable. I do think that Schuster used the wrong phrase there.
So do I.
What he was groping to describe, though, is the way the Clinton campaign has sent Chelsea out there, but she's in a bubble. And I remember famously in Iowa, this is now, a month ago, she was approached by a high school student who's a reporter for the student newspaper. And this reporter just wanted to ask Chelsea a couple of questions, you know, what's it like? And Chelsea said, I don't do any interviews. I'm not answering any questions. Well, what is she out there for? And if she won't interact with people, if she's just doing meet and greet, you know, why not send a wax figure? Well, so Schuster had a point that he was trying to make. He did it very badly.
Right, and it's difficult to excuse him. But I can tell you also that what you have just spoken to is, I think, kind of what moved me out of Hillary's camp. Everything seems so tightly organized that no one is allowed to enter.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Stan. Kimberly in Sacramento, you get the last word today.
Hi, Peter. This is my first time calling, and thank you very much.
Welcome.
Susan mentioned one thing before I tell you what I had to say. You guys were talking about Karl Rove.
Right.
And my question about him is, what in the world is he still doing out free and loose and bugging us good liberal progressive people?
Well, the Democrats haven't really pursued it, and Patrick Fitzgerald gave him a break.
I know. I just...
Kimberly, make your point. I only got 10 seconds.
Okay, sorry. I was just going to say Hillary's Wisconsin ad attacks Obama, saying he would not be tough enough on the corporations.
Right.
But she didn't even bother to vote on the telecom immunity deal. And she takes more of campaign contributions from oil companies and other corporations than he does.
Yeah, she introduced the first negative ad of this campaign. Thank you very much, Kimberly. Wish we had more time. Thanks for listening. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're going to do this again tomorrow. Same time, same great radio stations. And I hope you'll be with us then.
Happy trails to you.
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France, pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what happened.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Authorities in DeKalb, Illinois, now say six people are dead, more than a dozen wounded after a shooting this afternoon on the campus of Northern Illinois University. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers has the story.
A gunman described as tall, skinny, and white, wearing a black ski mask, kicked in the door of an ocean studies lecture room in Cole Hall with about 100 students inside. Witnesses say he pulled out a shotgun and maybe a handgun and began firing, hitting a number of people there, perhaps some others in the library. Police confirm now the gunman is dead after turning the gun on himself.
He has not been identified, but the school's president says he was previously enrolled at NIU. Some witnesses say the gunman appeared to be targeting students in one section of the lecture hall. The police chief says it was all over in less than 2 minutes. Students at Virginia Tech, which suffered a massacre last year, are posting messages on Facebook this evening urging NIU students to call home as soon as possible and let their parents know they're okay. Mitt Romney, who last week dropped out of the race for the Republican presidential nomination, joined forces with John McCain today.
I'm officially endorsing his candidacy.
And he's asking his delegates to support McCain at the convention. As rivals, the two men had some testy exchanges. But Chris Freites, a reporter at Politico.com, says it's all part of the game.
It's kind of like, you know, two boxers. You know, you go into the ring, you beat the crap out of each other, and then when it's over, you can still go have a beer.
Teetotaler Mike Huckabee still refuses to join the party. He says there's a great big Me Too crowd coming together for McCain, but, quote, I'm just not willing to be part of the coronation yet. President Bush has given the order.
As early as next week, a Navy missile will attempt to shoot down an out-of-control spy satellite before it falls to Earth with a tank full of toxic fuel. It's never been done before.
CBS News correspondent David Martin.
If the satellite is not shot down, the hydrazine tank would survive re-entry as it did in the Columbia space shuttle disaster. In that case, the fuel had already been burned up during the mission. This time, the tank is loaded with 1,000 pounds of hydrazine, which could contaminate an area the size of two football fields.
That satellite failed shortly after launch in December 2006. Without intervention, it would fall to Earth during the first week in March.